radio station.
This is Rover's Morning Glory. Rover.
There are laws against this.
Dougie.
I kind of got tingly.
Peter.
Kiss this, bitch.
Charlie.
I'm smarter than you, for sure.
And Jeffrey.
Please.
Streaming on RoverRadio.com. Rover's Morning Glory starts now.
It is Friday, January 10th, 2020. Or should I say 2020? I'm just so used to saying like 2002.
2020.
But then...
it's cleaner.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think on the show I would always say 2018, right? Or I don't remember what I would say, but in conversation I would say 2018.
I like 2020.
Okay. All right. Well,
it's up to you, man.
It's Friday, January 10th. Good morning. It's Rover's Morning Glory. I'm Rover. Doogie is here.
Good morning, sir.
Dieter is here.
Yo!
Yo! You're with us as well. 866-YO-ROVER. 866-967-6837. That's how you reach the show. Give us a call at that number. You can text us at that number that comes into the studio in real time. You can tweet us. Just put at Rover Radio in your tweets. But the best way to get a hold of us is to give us a call. 866-967-6837. I'll get to your email here in just a moment. Someone is calling for a mood check on Jeffrey already. Jeffrey, good morning. How are you? How are you feeling this morning? How's the mood?
It's good.
Speak up.
I did speak up, dude.
All right, so you're in a good mood today.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. John writes, yo, Rover. Dumb cheated on his wife with a prostitute in Nevada. By the way, hello. I'd like to ask everyone on the show to come to Beer Fest in Columbus on January 17th, if they're interested. Except for Dumb. I'm sure he'll be driving for Lyft that weekend, and we don't want him to come anyhow. We will be wearing our Dumb shirts, which we love. There's a picture of us wearing them included. There they all are. Look, there's three of them. Dumb cheated on his wife with a prostitute in Nevada t-shirts. Just throw everyone on the bus and come down for the party.
They look like they drank.
Yes.
Well, that's the guy on the right
who
gave
losers.
Us the...
Look at that horrible... Oh. What is that, a bad handlebar mustache?
Jeez. I think he looks great.
God. He's a nice guy. He gave us a peanut butter beer.
I actually don't give...
Oh, that's the peanut butter beer guy.
I think he's a dick, so you guys want to call him nice? He's ripping on me, so I'm going to be a dick right back to him. You got a big fat belly and a bad mustache.
Wow.
You got a bad camo hat, and the girl in the middle is maybe like a 4.5.
Wow. This is the dumb...
God, good start to the day.
Yep. Right out of the gates.
Yes, you read an email about somebody ripping on me, and I retorted to it. That's how it works here.
That must be next weekend. I have have some meetings on Friday and Thursday and Friday. I don't know what day the 17th is, but I don't think I'll be able to. And the bus is not here yet. The bus won't be here until we head out for Rochester. The bus is still at the service place. Scott writes, I just heard Tuesday's show. I wanted to let Snitzer know. I wanted to let Snitzer know he owes me a windshield cleaning. He made me spit coffee all over the inside of my windshield when he called Charlie a dummy for saying people carry flax. Don't get me wrong, I like Charlie, but that was hilarious from the usually quiet guy.
Flax?
Yeah, what are they carrying?
Flasks.
Oh, okay.
Are you okay?
I don't understand what the comment was.
It was a rarity that Snitzer was that funny.
Oh, okay.
All he said was,
I'm a dummy.
Oh.
That's hilarious.
Good one.
Keep it, come up with the gold here.
The Reef Shop has been down with Rover's Morning Glory since day one, they say. We've been listening religiously ever since you guys popped up on Rochester Radio. Tony, Samantha, and myself enjoy everything you do. We even like Doogie a little bit. Recently, I was perusing custom license plates for my classic car, typing in various ideas, and not uncommonly, my mind once again drifted off to that recurring voice I hear of Mary Elizabeth's attempt to rouse Jeffrey's Permasoft package. So just for the hell of it, I searched this license plate, and this they're considering purchasing this in New York State. Biolic.
Peter Biolic.
Yes, the license plate is B-I-O-L-I-K, Biolic. So,
if you back out a little bit, this is really funny.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at their tabs there, the first tab is kind of funny.
Oh, that is interesting. So it's really funny. So there are three open tabs. One is the New York State Department of Motor Vehicles. One is hotels.com. And the other is Perv City Russian Nympho Nikita something or other. I'm sure that was...
They didn't realize they did that.
Sure that was a complete accident, right?
Yeah.
Probably hackers got into it.
I found it.
Oh, that's funny. What is it?
It's a Russian nympho.
And what's the Russian nympho doing?
She's getting ready for anal is the actual full title.
Okay.
Russian nympho Nikita Denise is ready for anal. Ew. And she's preparing for it. And she is...
taking it?
Ooh, I don't like that. Okay, that's a salad toss. Oh, yeah. Who would want to see that?
Liz writes, Charlie, I have a new apple that will blow your mind, the Crimson Crisp. It's smaller than the Honey Crisp, but with much better taste. I had the Cosmic Crisp, and I wasn't impressed. But this apple is a game changer. They aren't expensive either. I paid $1.49 a pound. I attached a photo of the Crimson beside your basic Honey Crisp. It's a tiny little apple.
Small, because the Honeycrisp isn't huge either. Honeycrisp is pretty, standard size. So it's small, like a little crab apple.
I get some big ones.
Me too.
Of the Honeycrisp.
Oh, you do?
Okay. Yeah. Mm. It's like the first bite. You have to unlock your jaw like a snake to get the first bite in.
Alligator.
Yeah, but they're the best.
Yes, Jeffrey. What is it?
Usually, when I eat apples, I don't eat them like how you just just bite into them and eat it down to the core. What I do is I'll cut it into quarters and I'll take the core out and then I'll eat them like just slicing them.
You never eat it just right off the apple?
I've done that before, but I prefer to do it this way. Then I can eat the whole thing. I just get rid of the core and be able to eat as much of the apple as possible and just get rid of the core.
When's the last time you had an apple?
I don't know, Dieter. Can't remember when the last time I had an apple.
1986.
His body would go into shock.
Fruit? Yeah, it's not really my thing.
I don't think my body would go into shock, Doogie.
The vitamins?
Okay.
Instant diarrhea.
Don't worry about me. I don't need a lot of candy.
I survive off of McDonald's coffee and Rice Krispie treats.
No, I haven't had those in a while either.
What are you eating every day?
Regular food.
What'd you have today?
I haven't eaten anything yet.
What are you planning to eat for breakfast?
I have no idea yet.
Something out of the vending machine?
Oh, yeah. A what?
Something out of the vending machine?
Depends on what time of day.
Wait, what were you doing in the kitchen this morning, then?
Wait, what did you say?
What were you doing in the kitchen this morning?
Oh, I was trying to soften up the crud of my fingernails so I can clean them out.
In the kitchen? Where everybody eats?
Yeah, to see if the hand soap ain't probably isn't strong enough to clean the crud out of my fingernails. So I use
Well, he was there for a while.
So. Use the dish detergent.
Because I got here right behind Jeffrey. I saw him getting the elevator.
Yeah.
And then I took the other elevator. And then I got up here and he was nowhere to be found. And I was worried he was stuck in the elevator. I was looking for him for like 5 minutes. I didn't know where he was. And then it turns out he was in the kitchen. So how long were you doing this for?
And well, I wasn't doing it that long. At the same time, and after I got done with my fingernails,
Fred.
Since you guys rag on me all the time about them, I wanted to see what is in the Wheel of Death, and didn't find anything really that would appeal to me at the
What's
moment.
What's the Wheel of Death?
The vending machine.
The refrigerated vending machine with like sandwiches and stuff.
He's the only guy that buys from there. It's like burgers, sausages and cheese sandwiches.
Why is it called the Wheel of Death?
Well, a person that used to work here gave it that nickname for some reason. Why, I don't know. But it's got a cylinder that rotate. You could just rotate it to your selection.
Go show Dougie how clean. I mean, I think your nails are looking great now. I think you did a great job cleaning them up.
Can we do a wrist check?
Just get them. Have them come in and just.
This is the kitchen where the workers wash their coffee mugs, their dishes, mm-hmm. and everything.
What kind of utensil was he using, do you think, to clean out?
Probably a fork that somebody eats their lunch with.
There, Jeffrey
throws it back in the drawer, too, when he's done.
Oh, sure.
Go talk when you're in there.
His brain is very confused, isn't it?
You need a coffee.
They're clean now. This looks great.
All right, let's look at his nails. How are they, Dougie? I can't see.
You really clean those?
Oh.
You seriously cleaned them,
They look the same.
Really?
A lot of crud in there still.
When's the last time you showered?
I used my key to scrape them out.
So the butt and the crud, that key.
No, different.
Can I see?
I use my house key.
Can I see those nails?
So gross.
They look a lot.
Yeah, they may look better. They're just still dirty. You have to shower every now and then.
No, I got to cut them too. So.
When is the last time you hopped in the shower?
Hopped in the shower the other day.
What day?
Monday.
Yeah, Monday. Oh. Even when I put them under the shower and I try to aim the water, sometimes it doesn't work.
Do you like
either,
one of those
fingernails under the shower?
So what?
You put your fingernails under the shower?
Yeah, like I try to run the water through them, you know?
Yeah. You need like one of those wire bristles that mechanics have, you know? Cut them in the kitchen.
Well, give me a fingernail clipper.
Bite them off.
We'll get some.
No, I don't bite nails.
Okay.
All right, Jeffrey. Thank you. He showered last on Monday.
Have you worked the fence company since Monday?
Every day. Yes.
I worked yesterday.
Yeah, he's worked. Yeah.
And Tuesday.
Yeah. Oh my God. Joe writes, "I'm a few days behind, but I heard you guys talking about TalkSlut."
Talk slut.
I had an idea what it was, but I went to the only knowledgeable site on the internet, Urban Dictionary. By the way, he has not showered since Monday.
Well, his clothes
spell
haven't
that?
Been washed either.
Man, oh man, oh man. Makes sense why Charlie always hits the talk slut on Dougie. She's a typical freeloader.
Talk slut.
I'm sure you guys know you're on there, but if you don't, here you go. Someone in public forum, namely TV or radio, that repeatedly sneaks in names of companies or products in order to get free advertising for the company. This especially happens when the person is a fanboy or girl or receives deep discounts for the products. Here's the example. Rover, I just don't understand why any girl would get a breast reduction unless they had serious back problems. Dougie. And when they choose to get consultation, they should call Dr. Goldschmidt at 1-800. So. Chocolate Charlie then hits the sound bed button.
Talk slut.
So there you go. You've made an Urban
that's
Dictionary.
Great. And that's from 2017. Years ago, she submitted that.
Well, that's...
Wow.
Oh, that's actually really funny.
Kimberly writes, Rover, I wanted to wait and write this message until Jeffrey was in the studio today. I still can't believe this worthless piece of crap got his kids only one gift each. So to make up for it this year, he should give his kids $1,000 each from his taxes and let them buy whatever they want. They are the reason he gets all the money from the government. And if he didn't get to claim them, he would barely have any money on his return. And speaking of return, please stop him from getting ripped off when he goes and does his taxes. He can file for free online and get his money in 9 days. Where else can you save $300 just for waiting 9 days?
Oh, that's right. Tax season's coming up, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Uh-oh, tax return.
We have until the end of this month, in a couple of weeks.
Do you think he's already filed?
Your forms, don't you get them in January?
Oh.
Has he filed yet?
They have to mail out your forms by the end of the month. Okay, yeah.
So,
but we have until March.
April. He'll
have it filed in February.
Okay.
Don't you think?
My girlfriend got her W-2 already or whatever.
Some have, yeah.
Okay.
They have until the end of the month.
So we haven't got it yet?
No.
Okay.
It's usually an email.
The company. iHeart either. We haven't done.
That reminds me. I have to generate them for my companies.
What happens if employers don't do that? If, say, they send it in February to workers, what's...
I don't know.
Are there consequences?
I don't know.
They always say by law, but I'm not sure what the... Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
What are the consequences?
I don't know. Ryan writes, who's a female, Yo Rover, I just wanted to say Doogie is, for once, not a complete idiot. I do the butt crack tickle, too, sometimes when I go pee, but not to make me pee. It just feels good while I'm peeing. I've done this for years, and I don't know whatever made me try it. P.S. Dumb cheated on his wife with a prostitute in Nevada. Brian writes, Rover, I went to see the Christmas Vacation movie followed by a Q&A with Chevy Chase right after. The moderator was horrible and probably made Doogie's conversation with John Cusack sound like a masterpiece.
Oh, I missed that. I forgot.
Hard to believe, I know. We walked out of the Q&A, as did many other people, after 15 minutes. It was very, very, very uncomfortable.
So here's the thing with Chevy Chase.
Now, what I find interesting is, and I said this, it was because Doogie hosted a thing, a Q&A session with John Cusack, and it was apparently horrendous. Newspapers were writing articles about how bad it is. And I said, you know, they're giving her a hard time because she's Doogie from Rover's Morning Glory.
Whereas Akron
If this were just some normal person,
right,
they wouldn't have articles written about how horrible they were. And this proves it.
Yeah.
I haven't seen an article about the moderator of the Chevy Chase question.
Akron Beacon Journal, dude. Big fan, where are you? Right? Who's the person that moderated that?
I love
it. Here's the other thing with that. I know that Chevy Chase is a lot like when I did John Cusack. John Cusack is a lot more notorious for not wanting to talk. No,
Chevy Chase is a known dick.
Right.
Okay.
No, I know. He's difficult, but to go into that would be very intimidating because he doesn't want to talk, but he does this tour at Christmas time, makes money.
Why would he not want to talk? He's getting paid to talk. You're not asking him anything.
I understand that.
Super sensitive. You're asking about a dumb movie that came out 35 years ago.
But they just make it a little bit more difficult for the person on the stage to do their job.
I will tell you right now, I don't want to do it. I won't do it. But I could go in there with 30 minutes of prep time and go in there, and I could actually probably walk in.
Can you please do it just to show it how it's done?
I can find out. I know that I think Rob Lowe was in town. Okay. I don't know who moderated that.
I just don't. I don't want to do that. But I mean, I do to almost feel like doing it just to go. It's not hard, guys.
They're
so different. That's actually in a point. You're getting them in an environment where they will be at their least difficult.
I feel like they want to do that for the money.
That's right.
It's their idea to do.
Just because
you want money doesn't mean you're going to be playing along those rules of being, let's have some fun with it.
You say, Chevy,
you're being a dick right now.
You people paid money to see you talk and answer questions, and you're not talking.
Right?
That would be your response.
On stage?
Yes.
In your radio studio, you do that.
You do that there. Okay. If people, I mean, you're crazy.
You're crazy.
Crazy.
I will find out who's coming in next.
Virgil writes, I got turned on to this station about a year ago, just going through podcasts. I love it. I recently got a coworker hooked on it, too. I'm from Dallas, Texas. The issue is when listening, it will go silent, but it still shows playing on the app. I have to change the station to get audio back and then go back to your podcast to get it going again. Has anyone else experienced that?
No.
Now, I get it if it maybe cuts out or something, but It just goes silent, but continues to play and never comes back. They are. We'll see at 8:30 if the internet cuts out.
Yeah, that's the time.
Todd writes, Bert Kreischer was on Instagram yesterday asking what people do when they put their shoes and socks on. His daughter puts one sock on, then that shoe, then the other sock in that shoe. Bert says normal people put both socks on, then both shoes. That got me thinking. What do you guys do?
I saw this video and it was so funny because his daughter is just so disgusted in the background with her father. She's a teenager and she's like, really? You're talking about this? And then she starts yelling at him about how she puts her shoes and socks on. It's so funny. But I have to agree with Bert.
Yeah, I put on both socks.
Yes.
Yeah, me too. Isn't that socks, then?
Both shoes.
Right.
She does.
I think everyone does.
Everybody in the world does it that way.
And that was his point. She got mad at him. Not mad, but it was just a teenager. It was pretty funny. What does Jeffrey do? I can see Jeffrey doing... You do one sock, one shoe?
Both socks, both shoes, like any other sane, comprehensive human being.
Puts on both his astronaut socks and then his shoes.
Okay, yeah, you try to pass condoms off of socks. Nice try.
That was so great. One time we had him, when Jeffrey was in his early days on the show, fun Jeffrey, he forgot socks on one of our road trips to Rochester, New York, so... These guys told them, oh, we have astronaut socks for you. And you know how much Jeffrey loves space. They were actually condoms.
Magnums. To get them over his feet.
There they are on Jeffrey's feet.
So I always make sure to pack socks and underwear and extra clothes on.
That's a good idea. So always bring socks when you're going on vacation somewhere.
Look how tight those are. They're cutting off circulation.
The astronaut socks. Just a couple of rubbers over his feet.
But the shoe slid on.
Yeah.
There was like greased down. It's like, what?
Not oxen all nine.
Yeah.
Ike says, Rover, when I was in high school, our entire music section of our school band went to Disney World in Florida for a school vacation. And we also all marched and played at different places in Disney. But that's not why I'm emailing you. The plane ride on the way there was just a plane full of our entire class. I was in 11th grade and my girlfriend was a senior. We got to sit next to each other. Fast forward about halfway through the plane, my girlfriend and I are cuddling and she starts grabbing my thigh, turning me on. Once I was fully there, she slipped her hand under my pants. I look around and the people next to us are sleeping, so I stick my hand down her pants too, and we're both doing that to each other for a little bit then. All of a sudden, she grabs her blanket, unzips my pants all the way, puts the blanket over her head, and starts going to town on me right there next to the whole class. I don't think I ever finished, but that was one of the craziest sexual experiences of my life.
Go bobble for a dong.
We also had sex on the Haunted Mansion ride, but that's not as fun.
This is band? What did he say?
Band, yeah.
My kid's not going to join band.
Nicholas writes, Rover, I have a problem with Doogie being a hypocrite. She's for body positivity for Lizzo embracing her fatness, and it's okay if she's fat, but when that lady called in about having sex with a stranger on a plane, that's not okay. Why isn't that being body positive? For her being a woman and a feminist, why is she slut-shaming another woman? Can't women do what they want because it's their body? She's such a hypocrite.
I think that lady was actually lying. There's no way she...
A girl called into the show yesterday with a story about having sex on a plane, but
I believe it.
Doogie, why can't she? Why don't you have that same attitude? If Lizzo can be fat and just eat nonstop, and people celebrate that as body positivity, why don't you celebrate this woman for having a healthy sex life and being adventurous?
That's not a healthy sex
life. Sure it is. The guy wore a condom.
No,
why
you
is
think
that
that's
healthy?
Safe to go?
And it sounds like she was in control too. Like she was in charge.
She's
the one that wanted it.
She's like a prostitute.
No, nobody got paid.
That's not a prostitute.
Yeah, not at all.
That's the opposite of a prostitute. Yeah. She's giving it up for free.
No,
free love.
No,
I've got to take a break. The Shizzy is coming up in a moment. We'll be right back on Rover's Morning Glory.
Rover's Morning Glory, an iHeart Radio station. WMMS.
If no one else in the car wants to listen to RMG, kick them out and make them frickin' walk.
Go on, get out! Good luck getting to school, you little jerks!
Now back to Rover's Morning Glory.
The Shizzy is coming up. Excuse me. What do you have on the way, Douchey?
Joaquin Phoenix is doing something through the awards season that I know is going to irritate you, Rover. I did turn the heat down.
Oh my God! It's
like
hot
a wall
in
of
here.
It's hot. Okay, super hot.
Yeah.
Wow. Now it's at 60. So like it's either at 85 or 60.
Why not
no
just put
ground.
It at like a normal thing, like 72? Then you won't have to touch it again.
Because you mess with it every day when you come in here.
Yeah, because you guys keep it at 85 degrees.
He puts it down to like 50 degrees.
No, I don't.
I don't know what he does.
I put it at 70.
Ruins the whole temperature.
Put it at 70 at normal.
Up and down.
This is a lie because I'm a freeze baby now, and I like it nice and warm in there when I go in there for the aftermath. And this guy does. He puts it down to like 60 every day. That's his new thing.
Put it at 68. A normal temperature, a working man's
68
there.
Is not a normal temperature.
That's what my house is.
That's what I sleep at night.
Yeah, that's like
my
the
house
Arctic.
Is 63 at night.
It's
a normal human body temperature. You're supposed to be at 68. That's the perfect temperature.
My home? I don't know what I've told you in the past that I normally keep it at.
90.
No. It's 78 degrees 24/7.
That's like tropical, man.
That's the temperature
disgusting.
In the house.
And you have a fireplace, too, right?
Oh, yeah, that's on. I mean, from the time I get home, usually B2 turns it on before I get home, turns the fireplace on. And so I'll sit in front of the fireplace so it's nice and hot in my 78-degree home.
Yeah. So what do you think it is next?
Pajamas.
Yeah, what do you think it is next to the fireplace? Like 90? 95?
Oh, it's hot. It's really hot. But it feels good. You can only sit there for a little while before you get smoked out. You know, it's too hot.
Jeffrey said he cleaned his fingernails this morning in the kitchen.
Yes.
I went in there to get a coffee, and I took a picture real quick of the kitchen sink.
Oh.
So you kind of can see.
Let me see.
It was kind of interesting. What's that thing to the right? You think he was using that thing to scrape
the
out?
Ladle?
Yeah. Why is that right there? And it was soaking.
It's not a ladle. That's the...
Like a spaghetti server. But the sink was all wet, and there's the Dawn soap he was using, and then that thing was all wet. Like he was using that to scrape out the
crud.
Did
you scrape that? He did.
How recent was that, Dieter? Was that picture taken?
Right now.
It was before the show. It was right when I walked in, and I used my key to scrape my fingernails out.
But you told us you used a utensil.
Yeah, my key, dumbass.
And the Dawn soap.
A utensil, I would think, is more like a kitchen utensil.
Right. No,
I've never heard someone refer to their key as a utensil.
No. That wasn't me. I used my key to scrape my fingernails out, okay? So I wouldn't use anything. So I'll use anything that would be used for food. Whatever, douchey. Anyways, so there you go.
Small enough to get into.
But a spaghetti ladle, that goes right in there and scoops all that stuff out.
I didn't use a spaghetti ladle, you dumb jackass.
So wash that, anyone who comes into work today.
Or toss it.
I would throw it away.
All right, Douchey, are you ready for the Shizzy?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Hear the Shizzy on Rover's Morning Glory.
Yesterday, the Democrat-dominated House voted to stop President Trump from taking further military action against Iran. So this move just attempts to restore congressional oversight on military force overseas. So the vote was mostly along party lines with 224 in favor and 194 against. But we did have three Republicans... And it says three Republicans and a Republican who flipped to independent, they voted in favor of the resolution. And that, apparently from sources, pissed the president off. Mm. He's mad all the way around about this. Meanwhile, U.S. and allied officials announced yesterday that the Ukrainian plane that crashed in Iran earlier this week, and it did, of course, kill everyone on board. It was inadvertently shot down by an Iranian missile.
I don't think you have to be a rocket scientist or an aerospace engineer to say to yourself, there was something funny about that, right? Because they just launched these missiles at the U.S. airbase, and then a plane crashes shortly thereafter.
Yeah, the timing.
Now they're saying that what happened, theoretically, is they launch these missiles 2 hours before the plane is shot down. They then think that some guy, some military person is manning his radar station or whatever, sees something coming at them, thinks it's some sort of an American strike, launches a surface-to-air heat-seeking missile, and instead it's just a commercial airliner. Same thing happened, speaking of Ukraine, this was a Ukrainian airliner, same thing happened over Ukraine, where a plane was shot down years ago in one of the most horrific acts, and it was perpetrated by the Russians, Donald Trump's big friends. They shot down a civilian commercial airliner that was cruising at 30,000 feet on its way to Australia from Amsterdam. And they shot it right out of the sky, everyone on board killed. They've never admitted to it, but it's we all know what happened, it's obvious. And something similar, I think, happened in this case. Now, and I'm not blaming the president for the downing of this airliner. I'm not. What I am saying is, these are the sorts of things we were talking about yesterday or the day before yesterday when I said, I don't think when the president acts on these things, like doing a missile attack and killing this Iranian general, I don't think he thinks through all of the consequences. Or potential consequences. Like, I'm not saying it's a effect. Right or wrong thing. Maybe right. It's right. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, those 176 people on board that flight would be alive today if we hadn't killed that general.
But that was the right move. And we're safer because that guy, that. Come on.
Are Robert. We safer?
Yes.
Explain that
to me. That's a bad dude. He's killed Americans before. They're talking about he was going to blow up the embassy. That was coming up. I know they haven't released
they
exactly.
They haven't released any
I know,
of that
Robert,
stuff.
But they...
Why not?
He did say that. He goes, they're planning on...
The president did. The okay. Pompeo did not.
Yeah, no one else has said that. The president says all sorts of things that are factually inaccurate. Or, in other words, lies.
There's stuff he can't tell.
Why? It he's the
endanger,
president.
He said sources it can endanger. Oh, it can endanger our troops. Rover. They had sources. They had information that this guy in the past was killing Americans. You take them out then. That's it.
So now, but you think we're safer, so...
Oh, yeah. And you couldn't...
It looks like we're going to remove troops from Iraq in the short to medium term. That doesn't make us safer. We are...
Can't stay over there forever.
Are not. Iran, as a result of that... attack has said, oh, you know how we were in this nuclear agreement? The U.S. backed out of it, but we were in this nuclear agreement with 15 other nations or however many. Well, we're out of that. We're going to go back to enriching uranium. So their nuclear weapons program is back on track as of this week. And you got a bunch of people riled up over this. Does that make us safer?
Yes.
Well, in your opinion. I'm not saying... You may even be right. I don't know. But it's the world certainly isn't safe for those 176 people that were just blown to smithereens.
But he could have predicted that by killing this guy. They're going to be so stupid, they're going to shoot out an airliner. Don't they have some kind of periscope or telescope you can look before you fire?
No, this is what I'm saying. You do think about these sorts of things. When you escalate a situation in a volatile region like that, you do think of the potential... fallout from that, and what could happen? This is what I'm saying.
But you would think
you would consider these.
But you would
things.
Think a plane might be flying and get hit by a stray missile.
That's stupid.
You're saying tensions could be heightened, just like what happened in Ukraine. In the Ukraine, there was a flight out of Amsterdam going to Australia, and it's flying over Europe. Safe skies, right? Well, Russia and Ukraine are involved in a skirmish. Russia has essentially invaded Ukraine, but they're using these various proxy forces to fight this. And they're supplying these, what they call rebels, but it's really Russian forces, with anti-aircraft missiles and other weapons. And because of the heightened tensions in that area, they see something flying over. They think it's a Ukrainian plane. They shoot it down. What I'm saying is, when you're in a, if you launch missiles at somebody, or you blow something up, or whatever, and you heighten the tensions in that region, that's when everyone's on edge and jumpy, and bad things happen. Now, that being said, I'm not saying we did anything wrong. I'm just saying, I think a direct correlation can be made that those 176 people will be alive.
It's like a butterfly effect. I don't know.
But wasn't this plane taking off from Tehran?
Yes.
They don't know their own planes?
That's what I find suspicious. Airport. You thinking false flag, Snitzer?
I don't know.
False flag?
No. I'm just saying it's taking off from their airport. It's not like a flyover.
Do you think somebody else shot it down?
Their radar's not showing that it's coming from their airport. They don't have some kind of communication. We didn't shoot it down. We were getting missiles shot at us. We still didn't shoot down a plane. Uh-huh. So it shows how dumb they are.
Are you guys saying you don't think that it was shot down by a missile?
No, it was. It's just they're dumb.
Who shot the missile?
Okay. Because the Iranian government, they're saying, they're pissed that the U.S. is saying...
Could it be...
Well, there's video that has come out, which apparently shows this plane being struck by a missile. Here's a guy that's outside, and he's outside filming because, you know, of everything that's going on. They've launched these rockets, blah, blah, blah. And there's a missile going up. You see this right at the beginning of this video. See the thing going up?
That's a missile?
And boom. Striking the plane.
Oh, that's... Jeez.
And that's the plane being blown to smithereens. There's another video of the plane actually on fire and crashing, which I've seen.
Massive fireball.
Yeah, you can hear it. It's so far away, it takes a while for the sound to...
That was the plane crashing?
No, the missile hitting it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
Because light travels faster. Oh, man.
So that...
I haven't seen that.
All right, go on.
Speaking of
yes,
fire.
Jeffrey, what you're hovering?
Well, no, and yeah, I've also read that Iran's anti-aircraft missiles were active at the time that flight took off. Plus, I can think of two other major incidents where a plane was mistakenly shut down. Back in the late '80s, the USS Vincennes, which was on duty in the Persian Gulf at that time, and this was at the height of the Iran-Iraq War, accidentally shot down an Iranian civilian airliner.
Yeah, we shut down. We shot down an airliner.
That's what I'm saying. We accidentally shot down an Iranian civil airliner. So, with an Iranian Airbus. I remember the story.
What's
the second? You said two incidents. What's the second one?
No, I didn't witness it, but I remember another one. I remember when the Soviet Union shot down Korean Airlines 007 in 1983 because they thought, the Soviets thought it was, you know, because the plane strayed into their territory off their flight path, and the Soviets thought it was a spy plane.
Mm. Go on, Dish.
We're still dealing with the fire in Australia, and American firefighters were at Sydney's International Airport because they flew over there to lend their help. And here, you're going to help me, I think, with this, Rover. You're going to help me with some video. Travelers were at the airport in Sydney.
Yeah.
And they gave a hero's welcome to the Americans.
All the, was it firefighters?
Yep. People crying. I'll look at all those firefighters that arrived, so. They just keep coming and coming.
So. They volunteer for that? They're not getting paid?
No, of course they're getting paid.
Oh, okay.
Someone's got to be paying them, right? Yeah, they're getting paid.
Are they? Actually, that's a good question.
Of course. Well, what do you think? They're going over there just for the hell of it?
To help these animals.
To help, yes. And people and homes and land.
I think they're getting paid.
So, let's see. Out of Chicago, two people were bitten by a coyote this week. First attack was in Lincoln Park, which is a little north of downtown Chicago. It was a 6-year-old boy bitten multiple times. Apparently, the boy was with the caretaker and they were walking, and the little one came face to face with this coyote, and the coyote was like, sweet, bit the kid. The caretaker jumped into action and kicked the coyote and got the coyote off, but the kid was bit. So they go to the hospital. And then just a few hours after the first attack, a 32-year-old man walked in Northwestern Hospital and said he had been walking on the sidewalk when a coyote bit him from behind. He's in stable condition, and authorities have not been able to contact the second victim or to confirm that the animal was a coyote, but coyote was spotted yesterday afternoon, causing two schools temporary lockdown because they don't know what's happening with it. Not good at all. What else? Olympic athletes looking to follow Colin Kaepernick's lead will have to do it someplace else other than Tokyo because they are banned athletes banned from kneeling at the 2020 Games. And the International Olympic Committee released their guidelines for the upcoming Summer Games, and it's very clear the committee is trying very hard to keep politics out of it.
Did you see?
Oh, they're going to have cardboard beds this year. Did you see this, Rover? All the athletes have cardboard beds.
For nature reasons.
Yeah, to make
it sustainable. The environment.
And then the plastic mattress, they're going to reuse it into plastic bottles. You're going to be drinking out some guy's bed in the future.
But the beds are supposed to be able to hold, what, 450-pound
man?
Oh,
you're banging. Two athletes in their prime banging are going to be able to held up by this cardboard bed? By this thing?
Yeah, it's just like folded cardboard boxes.
Wow, that sucks. Terrible.
It looks flimsy.
And when you're an athlete competing, you need the best sleep possible.
Nope. Exactly.
How is this going to help?
That's terrible.
And what is the mattress made of? So it's a plastic mattress? Because that's what I thought I heard on the news, but I don't really understand it.
I think it's an air mattress.
Oh, an air mattress?
No. Why would it have plastic? What are you going to put in that?
Well, I think that...
Wow.
That doesn't look like an air mattress.
Like shredded up plastic?
But Dieter's right. They did say they're going to turn it into bottles.
They're recycling, right. Yeah.
So it must be made of 100% plastic.
And another person that wants to help the environment is Joaquin Phoenix. So do you know that he was the one behind that? You know, it really bothered you that they did that vegan meal at the Golden Globes?
Yeah.
And I saw stories that celebrities afterwards, they were like, is there any meat here? Like, we want to eat a burger. People wanted to eat. So Joaquin Phoenix was behind that. Well, now he's going to help save the planet by wearing the same tuxedo throughout the awards season. So his designer...
Oh, yeah, that will make a difference.
...is Stella McCartney.
You got to be kidding me. And are you serious?
It's a custom suit that is supposed to reduce waste.
Okay. That's what's harming the planet is too many tuxedos during awards season. I mean... Yeah. All right.
There you go. That's the Shizzy and Rover's Morning Glory.
Got something to say? Call the show. 1-866-YO-ROVER. That's 1-866-967-6837.
Something's obviously wrong, right?
Well, you know what it is?
They've turned the air conditioning units off.
But 60 today here in town. So it's 20 yesterday, 60 today. They're
I have to open that door up, close those doors out in the hallway, and open this door because I'm sweating. We have a guest coming in.
It's hot in here too, though.
It's Carlos Mencia's coming in.
Computers are at 116.
Uh-oh. It is something.
So the building has the heat on.
And no air. And it was cranked up in here. Just got to give it time for that thing to come on.
Yeah, but mine never changes, and it's boiling in here.
Yeah, it's bad.
What's it set to right there? Charlie, what's it set to?
70?
A few people sent me an email that our former phone screener Nads was released from jail yesterday.
Oh, really?
Oh, look at that.
That's right, yeah. So
why yesterday?
I don't know. He pleaded guilty to whatever, and they've given him in lieu of
conviction.
Treatment.
What something. Does that mean?
You'd get to take treatment instead of a conviction.
That's what he did before.
I thought you could only do that one time. That's
maybe it's once per county or something.
But with treatment, don't you have to go to a rehab?
Well,
it's it all depends on, different kinds of treatment.
I have the document. Now, he still has another trial, I believe, for his hit and run case. That could send him. That's the big daddy. That could send him back to jail, I think.
Easily.
Yeah, there's no way he's not going back.
Yeah, the second one is way worse than the first one.
And it's also a different county where that one is. The other one's in a rougher area.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Here's a from the court document. He agrees to these conditions for his release. Defendant shall obey all laws of the state and the United States. Okay. I think you could agree with that. Defendant shall not leave the state of Ohio without the permission of the court. Or his supervising officer. Okay. Defendant shall not possess or consume any alcohol or drugs.
Ooh, that's going to be tough.
Now, keep in mind, this is for a period of 2 years.
Oh, my God.
2 years. Do you think he can maintain that?
I hope he can.
Was he able to when he was on the show?
No. Oh, yeah. Remember, he was on probation before.
For a year?
Yeah, it worked.
Well, no, he did. No, he did part of one. Remember?
And then got caught.
Got caught, and then he went back.
Yeah.
He got another one. He completed that second one.
defendant shall not enter bars or places where alcohol is served as a primary source of income. So no bars.
Restaurants. Yeah, restaurants slash bars are okay. Just not bars slash restaurants. It all depends on how much, you know, how much money they're using on food versus drinks.
So the trick is just have a menu in your hand, at a all food times. Menu.
Yeah.
No. So it looks like you're getting food.
It has nothing to do with you getting food. It is this an establishment that's primarily a bar? Doesn't matter whether you have a menu or 10 menus in your hand or you're eating in there. It doesn't matter. Defendant shall maintain employment. Defendant shall submit to random alcohol and drug testing.
How do we get employment? Who's going to hire him?
He had a job.
Well, I don't know.
Now for 2 years?
I remember
years?
That he did have a job and you tried to get him fired from it, remember?
He was working at a limo company driving.
He wasn't driving.
You know that he wasn't driving. You know that he wasn't. He was the dispatch. You clearly knew that because it was said that.
He quit on his own accord.
That is true. He did quit.
He didn't show up.
He just stopped showing up.
That is true. Everything you're saying is right, but you did attempt to get him fired from
a different... I questioned if he was driving. Yeah, I don't want him on the road.
I told you he was a dispatcher. You knew that, and then you made
a lot of things.
You made a phone call.
Who knows if you're telling the truth to protect your buddy, enabler over there?
Why would you? It bothers me that you tried to get some guy fired.
It's so funny that you get more mad at me than your friend who just blatantly didn't show up to work.
But it's weird that you tried to a guy that you have no relationship whatsoever with anymore. Yes, to go out of your way.
I don't want
to get
him on the road.
Fired.
Call me crazy. I don't care.
He wasn't driving.
You know that for a fact. Quit acting stupid.
No, that's fine. I really don't care what you think about this situation, to be honest.
But like when this thing says he has to get a job, are you going to do this again? Are you going to do this again? Call other employers?
Please, he'll ruin his own life before me.
I don't doubt that at all.
So I'm the least.
But will you call other employers trying to get him fired?
I really could care less where he goes. You say that. I really don't. As long as he's not driving on the roads anywhere with us.
Well, he's got to get to work somehow. How's he going to
do that?
I don't know. Defendant shall remain in jail until receiving his first Vivitrol injection.
What's that?
That is,
it's a shot that you take, and it makes heroin not work. So you take it, and then once you have that in you, if you try to go do an opioid of some kind, it will give you zero effects. And it's actually pretty dangerous from what I was reading because...
You could OD.
Because people will just be like, well... If I just keep doing more and more and more, I'll finally get high.
Oh, my God. When did they start doing that to people?
When did they start doing it? I don't know. I never heard of it.
He obviously had his injection, though. Now, how long does that injection last?
He told me it was like every 30 days, I think he has to get it.
Oh, that's dangerous.
It also makes you, when I was reading about it, said it makes you not want to drink, too. It doesn't stop the effects of alcohol, but you don't crave alcohol as much. That's what I was reading about it. Because I'd never heard of it.
All right. Well, we'll see if he's able to keep it together. And then we'll see what happens with this second court case. What does he say about that?
Not much. I think he's something's coming up in like 2 weeks, some sort of pretrial. So he might just be right back in.
Well, I don't think with a pretrial. I think.
Well, he showed up to the pretrial for that other one, and that's how he ended up in jail for the last 3 months. He just showed up, remember?
Yeah, but he
tested positive.
Tested positive.
Well, as long as it doesn't test positive. I don't know.
I've got to take a break.
And I hope for his sake that is the people that he's surrounding himself with, like his girlfriend and everyone, there's no drinking.
Oh, completely stable. Don't worry about it.
There's no messing around.
Don't worry about it.
He needs to be around the most boring.
Keep your mind at ease. That girlfriend's taking good care of him.
I'm being serious.
Completely normal and stable, and everything is...
This thing in his arm, this shot, is very dangerous. That scares me, because you're at more risk to OD when you come out... Because you haven't done it in a while, and then you don't realize how much, and then you die. Mm. But now with this shot, Charlie's right. You just keep like, well, it's going to work if I keep doing more. I didn't know they did that to people. That sucks, man.
I've got to take a break. We'll be right back. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory. Heart Radio Station. You can ask Alexa to play Rover's Morning Glory on iHeart Radio. This is WMMS. If somebody at your work complains about our show, please relay this message to your HR department. Go f*** yourself and f*** our d***, you piece of d***. And also go f*** your mom. Now back to Rover's Morning Glory.
Ah, woo, it's hot in here. I mean, opening the studio door did not help either. I mean, it is.
It's a little bit better, I feel like.
I don't think so.
No?
It's getting worse.
I think.
And somebody's secretly going around turning up.
Yeah.
Somebody's secretly going around turning up the thermostats in different rooms.
Oh, thank you, Dom. He's fanning me. Wow, what a great employee. This
you got
guy,
some grapes you can feed him?
He anticipates my every need, doesn't he?
Yeah, he really does.
Yeah, this is great.
Every need?
Well, he's on his knees.
Yeah. He is on his knees.
Get to work.
I think someone should probably alert.
Put a trouble ticket in, Dom.
This goes beyond trouble ticket.
I think the power was out in the building earlier. When I got here, it was early.
Yeah.
It was pitch black. Parking lot, the building. So I think the power went out. So I think maybe there's something wrong with the whole. I'm out of breath.
Was it hot, though?
Fanning me? You're out of breath just from moving your arm.
Waving
like
his arm.
Wow. Well, I was holding my breath while I was down there. I didn't want you to smell my coffee breath. I'm pretty sure there's something wrong with the air conditioning system.
Was it hot, though, when you first came in here this morning?
I didn't notice it was cold, so it probably was. Because I usually walk in and I'm immediately freezing.
It almost seems like it's not that precise either, the system, all the time. It's like you could set it to 60 and it gets really cold, or you could set it to 80 and it gets really hot, but anywhere in between, it just falls one side or the other.
And Dieter walking around changing thermostats.
I haven't touched anything.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't, did he?
Ours is exactly the same.
Is this Snitzer's? Because that's feeding the hallway.
I have no access to the Snitzer's room.
You just reach in and turn it, you dummy.
What are you talking about? I was in studio, I went to the office, that was it.
I just sent a text message to the engineer.
Oh, you gotta stop doing that.
I go
take matters into my own hands. Stop doing it. What do you want me to do?
Sassy.
He's not here. No. If something is broken, what do? I don't try to get it fixed.
Sure, we got a guest coming in, you want him to sweat it out, pass out?
What happened to this chick? She just hung up. What the hell's wrong?
Flatitude.
What's wrong with
her? Do your job.
Did you just pick up with her and tell her to hold on?
How long ago? Was out for less than 2 minutes since I last picked up with her.
All right.
What'd she say?
I don't know. Her daughter's on that same shot or something. Joe in Binghamton, New York. You're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Joe.
Yo, Rover.
Yo, what's happening?
Oh, not much. I just want to say I love the show. I listen to you guys like every morning on my way to work.
Thank you.
I wanted to touch bases though with the whole Vivitrol shot thing. I actually work for a treatment agency that has a Vivitrol clinic in our building, and we do this actually up at the jail in Broome County, and they do it in a lot of different jails. The thing about Vivitrol, I just wanted to clear up a little misconception, is it doesn't just hold or keep people from getting high on heroin. It's been proven to help with cravings and drug dreams. And I mean, I'm not going to lie. It really is only for like highly motivated people, because there is that overdose risk, which is higher towards the end of the month when it starts to like wear down.
Mm-hmm.
But people know all about it before they actually receive the shot. Like they get all the information and they sort of know what they're getting themselves into.
Yeah, but it sounded like you have to get that in order to get out of jail.
Yeah, so anyone's going to be like, give me a shot because they want to get out of jail.
So if you give it to somebody that's not highly motivated, nor has he ever been highly motivated, what do you do? I mean, it's more of a risk.
Well, I mean, I absolutely agree with you, but I think that a lot of the people that take this generally know that it's not like you can take more and eventually you're going to get high. Like, it just completely blocks it. It doesn't matter how much you take, and they're aware of it. There's no like, oh, if I keep doing it, I might feel something. Like, they're filled in with all the accurate information. Well, they should be at the very least. But for somebody like Nads, you know, I think obviously he's been trying. I mean, I know for a while he was doing really good when he was on the show with you guys, and his big downfall was the drinking, which Vivitrol actually helps with. So for him, that could actually be a really good thing.
Remember all the people who yelled at me as being unfair and too hard on him when he got off probation? And
you're the one that forced him into his life, Rover.
His parents took him the day he got off probation.
Yes,
his parents celebrated by taking him out for margaritas.
Yeah.
And I said, what an incredibly stupid thing. And what kind of reaction did that get? It got, oh, Rover, oh, you're being, he's responsible. He can handle a drink. It's no big deal. And look what happened. So,
I agree. My hand hit my head when I heard that. I remember that day.
So we'll see how this, I don't know. Anything's possible. Maybe this will do good for him. And if you're getting the shot and you literally can't get high, I guess there would be no reason for doing heroin, so that's a positive. And if you say cuts out the drinking urges as well, maybe this is exactly what he needs. Maybe this will be a key to success. Thank you.
So when you do drink, it does nothing to you?
No, drinking will still, you could still get drunk.
Okay.
It's just that I think it curbs your cravings for alcohol. Okay. Is what I read.
Haley in Youngstown, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Haley.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Hi, what's happening?
Not much. I just wanted to touch base on the V-shot. As far as of what Fuji was saying, yes, it is very dangerous, but I wouldn't necessarily say that they're forced to take that to get out of jail, because there are other routes to go. They have what's called a Suboxone that does the same exact thing, except you just have to take two of those a day. And then they have what's called a methadone clinic that you're supposed to attend every single morning. But just like the previous speaker just said, it does cut back. Like when you take the V-shot and you try heroin or you try an opiate or you try any other drug, it will make you sick.
Yeah. Well, he's not, well, but this shot will last for 30 days. He's not going to wake up every day and go to a methadone clinic or take two Suboxone.
He's also been off everything. So he's already, go ahead.
You know what? You can't help somebody who don't want help.
Uh-huh.
So if they're putting themselves in that situation, they know what the outcome is. My mom has been a heroin user for 19 years of my life. And again, you cannot help somebody who does not want help. So if they're putting themselves in that position to want help, they know what the outcome is. You go through, I think it's a 2-day class before you even get the V-shot.
Haley, how old were you when your mom started doing heroin?
She was using heroin when she was pregnant with me.
Oh, wow. Oh man.
All right, so how old were you when you first figured out that your mom was a heroin addict?
I was taken away from my mom at the hospital, so I mean, I've known basically my whole life, but when I was able to comprehend it, I think I was 5 when my dad first told me why she wasn't in my life. But again, she has four other kids, and like I said, you cannot help somebody who does not want help.
Yeah, Haley.
If somebody has kids and their kids cannot open their eyes, then obviously nothing will. But if they put themselves in that spot to get that V-shot, they know what the outcome is. So if they're going to want to use on that V-shot, then the way I look at it is that's their own stupidity. If they want help, if they seriously want to get clean, they will do the right thing. They know that nothing is going to affect them while they're on that shot.
All right, nothing. Haley, thank you. I appreciate it. Well, we'll see. I guess it's probably a positive thing for him, I think, right? Yeah. I don't think it's a negative.
No. It's going to help. No.
Will you close that door, Doogie? I know it's hot in here, but do you remember the girl that was, I think she's 2 years old, she was at a Houston Astros game, and they were playing the Cubs, and one of the guys on the Cubs hit a foul ball, and it hit her right in the noggin.
Oh, and he went to his knees, he was like crying.
Yeah, you remember that?
Yes, of course.
That 2-year old. She was hit back in May, and her lawyer says that she has a permanent brain injury that will affect her for the rest of her life.
Wow.
I thought she was okay.
She gets anti-seizure medication. Other symptoms include staring spells, periods of unresponsiveness, frequent headaches. Will remain subject to seizures and is on medication for perhaps the rest of her life. Major League Baseball says that they are extending for this upcoming season, that they are extending the netting and all of the Major League Baseball parks, that the nets will extend past the bases.
So wrap around now?
The whole stadium?
No, not the whole, but they're going further down the end, past the base, past the end of the dugout. So they're going further down. That's where people are most likely to get whacked by a foul ball.
People are not going to be happy about that.
No, I don't like that.
I'm happy.
I don't have an issue with it. But why would people be unhappy about that?
Because it's blocking your sight.
It's going to ruin your experience.
It's a net. It's not blocking your sight.
Well, it's not.
You were just at a UFC match, and you were like, oh, the cage. It was so hard to see the fighters because the cage. A cage is the same as a net, roughly.
Now, the thing that made it difficult is that you're sitting on the floor, on the ground, and the cage is actually above you, and you're looking up into it. Okay. I mean, it just was not an ideal.
And the cage is blocking your view. When you watch it at home, the camera's inside the cage. When you're outside it, looking through the cage, it's hard to see. Same thing with this baseball game.
Well, the cage also has points, or what do you call it, corners, whatever.
Octagon.
But, yeah, I know, but at each corner kind of thing, there's like a pole, a thick pole, and then a thick pole at the top, and those are bulky. Netting doesn't have that.
Dieter, at a football game, if you're sitting there and you're at the one end by the field goal post, is that a problem?
No, you can't see it. No, it's really, unless you're right dead smack behind the field goal post, there's no blockage in a football game. That's why I love it.
But they bring that net up when they're kicking a field goal.
I don't like that.
So you just said.
All the football games, they put logos, they put like Allstate on these freaking nets. I'm like, are you kidding me? Get that stuff down. You don't need a net. If the fans could catch that ball, it would make the game so much better.
I kind of agree with you.
You just see a drunk guy diving.
They're going to all be diving towards each other. Exactly.
People do that on football. People do that for foul balls. At baseball games, I don't have an issue with that. You should. I don't like it that they make you give the football back.
I know.
They actually will take it from you. Like, if you get one, if a football lands in the crowd, they take it back from you. You don't get to keep that.
You got to, like, pass it forward.
Yeah, I don't like that. That sucks.
Who gets it then?
They give it back.
For the game.
But if a player hands it to you, they can keep it. Like, after a touchdown. We have to take it, but the kicks. They're like, come on, the ball boy's like, get it back.
You have how many balls do they have? They probably have hundreds of balls, right? Just you lost one.
I don't know how many they have, but they make you give. You do not give if a football goal goes into the stands, you do not get to keep that football.
God.
But he does bring up a point. You can see through that net. No one's complaining about that, Dieter.
No, I don't like that. I don't it's think hard
that
to
this,
see.
I don't think that this will affect people's vision. 866-YO-ROVER, 866-967-6837.
One more time. Where does the net go to now? Or where it's, where it's going to go to?
Past the bases, past the dugout. So extending down the foul lines, they haven't said how far it's going to go down.
How high up? Just to the first level?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see a problem with that.
Because if it goes over that net, it's going to be at such an arc that it's not coming at super fast
time
speeds.
And look at it and prepare for it.
How about this? Put your phone down now and pay attention. That's all you have to do.
I don't think that 2-year-old was on her phone, was she?
Was her parents?
That I don't know. But
I bet the dad's on the Instagram drinking a beer and he didn't see
you
it.
You need your phone for baseball because baseball's kind of slow and kind of boring. So you want it to be entertained because there's a lot of downtime in baseball. So I also, like, if you're just hanging out, you know, you're talking to somebody, you get nailed
in the
head.
There's too much talking at baseball games. And what I'm saying is... No, there's too much talking.
You're like the fun police.
You are. No.
What's your problem? It's a baseball game.
You want everybody to sit there silently?
Let me finish. Women. There's too much talking amongst women at baseball games. So I've sat behind women at baseball games, and there's like four of them, and they just sit there and blab on.
I can see that. They don't care about the game.
Oh, they don't care at all about the game. They're talking about, oh, did you see what so-and-so she was wearing? And, oh, my God, so-and-so's kids. I can't believe it. This and that. And it's just, it makes going to a game unbearable. If you
want like a golf tournament.
Yeah, silent.
Or ban them. Ban the women.
Occasional talk is okay, but not
about the game only.
Not 3.5 hours of nonstop chatter about neighbors and marriages.
You
want
like a library? Just
does so you want to sit behind that all day?
Doesn't bother me at all. You know what bothers me just as much is the nerds Like, they get their own scorecards, and they're writing their own balls and strikes. I don't know why those guys are doing that.
But they're silent. They're not bothering anyone. No, so why would that bother
No, they are talking like, all right, fourth ball.
But okay,
his ERA just went down. It's and I'm just a like, melting. What is this nerd doing? Just have fun.
That is fun for them. It's a melting pot of people the way that they want to have fun.
If they want to do that, go ahead. I don't have a problem with the women in front of me talking either. As long as they're not standing up and blocking my view, I don't care what they're doing.
In places in Asia, I don't really remember this. Charlene went to a baseball game in Korea, South Korea. I don't really remember what the netting situation was there, but they in Asia, they've had this netting for a long time that extends far down.
Didn't you tweet a picture out, or didn't you have a picture of you guys there at the stadium? I wonder what it was.
We might have. Did you tweet a picture of that 10 years ago?
No, but I remember seeing a stadium guys.
Let me see.
No, I'm asking.
Scroll through my Twitter timeline back 10 years, Charlie.
I just remember Charlie standing for the anthem.
Yeah, he
was that the same game.
He put his hand over his heart for the South Korean national anthem, and I said that was traitorous.
Rover took his hat off.
Didn't take my hat off.
He did. Definitely 100%.
That's different than putting your hand over your heart. By the way, you know, taking your hat off at another company's. A national anthem might just be a sign of respect. You're actually pledging allegiance to that other country by putting your hand over your heart for the South Koreans.
Don't care. Whatever. Do it again in a second.
I don't really have any. You don't like this.
No, if you're paying a bunch of money for these seats, Rover, you want to be able to see everything.
I think you can see everything.
No, Rover, what's a better view? Nothing in front of you or a net? If you're sitting there, you're
what's
front
a better
row,
view? Being able to see out of your eyes or getting smacked in the noggin with a foul ball?
Well, just pay attention. Bring your mitt. If the ball's coming towards you, catch it. The one guy caught it with a glass of beer.
That
foul ball.
That was a home run, I think. Still. Joe, here on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Joe.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to call in because I can't believe my ears. I can't believe that you're talking about risking your view at a game when this kid's life is forever changed.
Yep.
And the fact that you put people's lives at risk, this kid would never have a chance to catch that ball.
His dad. His dad would. His mom.
What, a 95-mile-an-hour ball?
A catcher does it every single play.
It's a father.
That's a professional athlete, by the way. So everyone has to have cat-like reflexes if you're to attend a Major League Baseball game?
I think so.
Ugh.
To be safe.
Here's Charlie standing at that game.
No.
Can you see which one's me?
Yeah.
Can you tell?
Which one? Oh, the only white guy in the picture.
Look behind you, Charlie.
Well, hey.
He's like, who's on me?
There's Carlos Mencia back there. Yeah, Charlie's the only white guy in that entire picture at that baseball game. I think I took that because I think I went down and took that photo just because I'm like, we're the only white people in this entire stadium. All right, let me take a break. We'll come back. We'll have Carlos Mencia in studio with us right after this. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory, an iHeart Radio station.
Set your alarm to Rover's Morning Glory. Just say, Alexa, wake me up to 100.7 WMMS on iHeartRadio weekdays at 7 a.m.
Rover till I die.
You have to listen. Some kind of law.
Now back to the show.
All right, let's bring in Carlos Mencia. He is going to be at the Funny Stop tonight at 9:30 and tomorrow at 9:30. Let's bring him in, Dom, and put him on the couch of tears, and we'll talk to him. Good morning. How are you, my man? It is. We'll get him set up here on a headset. Give me a second. And
there we go.
There you go. How are you, bud?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
It's a little bit hot in here. I apologize
I know,
for that.
I know,
there's
I
something
heard.
With the building going on.
It's not
on.
That bad, dude. It's not that bad.
You're from Honduras.
This is nothing.
This is wintertime for you.
It's
like 100 degrees in
I'm
here.
I'm like,
right
dude,
now.
There's no humidity. This is perfect. What are you crying about?
Will you take the microphone just like an inch away from your mouth? Just so
there,
there you
is
go.
Is that better?
Yeah, it's much better.
There, it's better.
How are you? Good. What's happening?
I'm good now, man. Had a rough year last year. A lot
what
of ups
happened?
And downs.
I know your father was sick, I think.
Yeah,
right?
My dad got quintuple bypass surgery. But that wasn't the weird part. The weird part is, so I have 11 sisters and 6 brothers. and my dad gets a heart attack, five heart attacks. So I was performing just outside of inside of Idaho, so I had to catch a flight in Salt Lake. So I was driving 120 miles an hour.
Yeah,
I get pulled over. You can imagine how pissed off the trooper is that I'm going that fast. Yeah. Now, there's no cars around me. Yeah. It's, you know, Sunday morning at like 3 o'clock in the morning because I need to catch the first flight. And he pulled me over and he started screaming at me. And I said, dude, just either take my car, give me a ticket. But my dad got five heart attacks and I got to get home.
Yeah.
And I don't care what you're saying right now. It doesn't matter to me. And he saw like the look on my face that it was real. And he said, listen, man, can you just knock over 80 miles an hour? You will catch your flight. You're going to be fine. And I'll tell everybody on the way to the airport that you're driving this car and you're going 80. Don't go over 84, he said.
Yeah.
And so I put it on 84 and I drove. And, you know, so, but that was rough, man, because when we got there, my mom is there. My dad is there. My 11 sisters, six brothers are there. And some dude that looks like a family member that I've never met.
Yeah.
I have no idea who this guy is.
Uh-huh.
So I'm kind of like, what's going on here? Nobody's telling me anything. So I finally had to stop and go, all right, guys, time out. Who is this dude? Who is this guy?
Yeah.
And one of my sister, Martha, goes, well, we found out that when mom was pregnant with you and ended up here in America, dad cheated on mom. And had a son.
Oh, my God.
And that's our...
And that's him.
That's our half-brother.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, I don't accept. And they're like, what do you mean you don't accept? Because if he becomes my brother, now I got to get him a visa. I got to take care of him. All I saw was money. That's all I saw.
Your father... Okay. So first of all, it's hard... Could you even name all of your brothers and sisters?
I could, but every time I do that, whoever I end up saying last gets so butthurt. And because I'm the second to the last, at some point it turns out that I broke my leg or broke my something or they sacrificed something at some point in their life for me. And so I got to make it up.
I'm just having how many brothers and sisters did you say?
11 sisters, 6 brothers.
Okay.
So now there's actually... 11 sisters, 7 brothers.
That's a lot of people to keep track of. Yes. Are you guys a close-knit family?
We're close, but we don't always hang out.
Yeah.
But I have family members all over the country, so, you know, I'll hang out with them when, you know, in a couple of, like in 3 weeks, I'm in Chicago, so I'll be hanging out with two of my sisters there. I was just in Phoenix hanging out with my brother there.
What ended up with your father? How his condition?
He's still alive, dude.
Yeah.
He's still alive. But this, when we were in that room, I looked at my mom and I said to my mom, like, hey, is this okay with you that this dude is here? Like, I don't care about anybody's feelings at this point. I'm getting older. I've lent everybody money here. I owe nobody anything in here. Is it okay that he's here?
And what did she say?
I think this is why I do comedy. My mom goes, it doesn't bother me. I just can't believe that he cheated on me. It's not like he wasn't getting any. And she pointed to all of us. And I just started laughing. And I went, that's where I get it from. That's like, you know, that was her way, I guess, of coping with it and dealing with it.
When did she discover that your father had cheated on her?
I haven't even asked her, dude. So, I just, after this moment, he went away. I had to go do something else. Yeah. And we just went our separate ways.
You haven't talked to him about it or anything? Or is this one of those things that goes unspoken? You know, guys, it's tough for guys to talk about that kind of stuff.
I would talk to my mom if she wanted to. I just don't know, you know, how to feel about it. Plus, I don't want us to get emotionally involved with this guy's life.
Mm-hmm.
Because then we're going to end up having to be responsible for him at some point somewhere. Mm-hmm. When you're an immigrant, you always have immigrant family. And when you can get a work visa like I can, you just end up having to bring family over. And so I just don't want to, be responsible for that stuff. So I just kind of pretend he's not my brother.
Are you, you were born in Honduras.
Yeah.
You're an American citizen though now, right?
Yeah.
Or how did, what happened? I mean, have you been an American citizen for?
Since I was, let me see. So I'm 15, 42. So I think it was 2006.
Is when you became an actual American citizen.
And that's the first time I ever took a drink as well.
Why?
Because if you get a DUI or you take any drugs or you get a felony, you can't become a citizen.
Ah.
So I was protecting myself to make sure that I would never do any of that stuff.
Right. You didn't want to get sent back to
Honduras. Yeah, I don't want to get back sent. Exactly, dude. Because I
no offense, Honduras, but
like.
It sucks.
Of course it sucks. Like, that's why we left. I never understand people that defend, like, you know, oh, Mexico is a paradise. No, it's not. Oh. Nobody leaves in droves from paradise.
I can't even imagine. Why people are going on vacation to Mexico now with all the things, I mean, the beheadings and shootings and who needs that?
But that just only had, like, that doesn't happen in the five spots that Americans go to.
Still.
Puerto Vallarta, Cabo San Lucas, Cozumel, Mazatlán.
Yeah. Why take the chance? There are warm places in the United States you can go on vacation. Sure. Or other countries where people, where the drug cartels aren't running the entire place.
Yeah, you can go to the Bahamas. You can go to Hawaii. Hawaii is like, you get
and that's the United States. Yes.
Yeah, everybody speaks English.
Yeah.
Even though it's hard to get stuff done in Hawaii because everybody's like 5 gears slower than anything around here.
Really?
Yeah. Everybody's like, they don't understand FedEx overnight. They don't get that. Like, I was literally, like, I want it there tomorrow. And they were like, bro, it can't wait. Dude. It has to be there tomorrow.
So, like, if you live in Hawaii, your Amazon Prime probably doesn't come in 2 days, does it? It's probably, like, 2 weeks for Amazon Prime.
They probably don't care, though, dude. They don't care. They're just chill. You know what I mean? Their life is the same every day, and it's just relaxed, and it's just, it's chill. It's not, they don't have that, I have to get it tomorrow. I have to see this. They don't get that.
Now, Carlos is, if you're not watching on RMG TV, I was just thinking about you yesterday, last night, Carlos, because I knew you were coming out.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about you because back when you were doing Mind of Mencia, you were probably about the weight that you are right now.
About what I was now.
And then I remember seeing you in the hallway one time, and it took me like 30 seconds to, that's Carlos Mencia, because you lost a ton of weight.
Affected my comedy.
And now you are back up to what I think people would normally associate
with me with. Yeah. But I'm starting to lose weight again. You know what it was is that it really freaked me out because I would go on stage and I would literally hear people say, he has cancer. Is this the last time we're going to see him? I mean, you know, excuse me. So I had to go on stage and say, I don't have AIDS. I'm not sick. I'm literally just eating healthy and working out. But,
And that's what you did. You did that just because you wanted to be healthier. That's why you lost
the weight.
Just
wanted to feel better about it. But when it affected my comedy, it really scared me.
How did it affect your comedy? Really just because people thought you were sick or something? Or why would it affect your comedy?
It affects your comedy because the more defects you have, the more you can push the envelope.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's much more difficult for an average white guy to be edgy than it is for a fat black guy, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can say whatever you want and people feel sorry for you. Right? Okay. Like, oh, this poor guy's life. Oh, it sucks, man.
He's fat and he's black. Poor guy.
Exactly, dude. So what would happen was...
Can't catch a break.
Okay, so right now I do a joke. Like where I say women are annoying because you talk way more than men want to talk.
Mm-hmm.
When I look the way I look right now, women just wait for the punchline.
Uh-huh.
When I was thin, women would literally yell out, yeah, who do you think you are? You know what I mean? I'm the same guy that did this joke a year ago when I was fat. Why is it different? Because they didn't see the vulnerability. So all they saw was like, you're a good-looking dude. Why are you talking smack?
So did you just decide, forget eating healthy, forget working out. I'm just going to do
pretty
what
much.
I want, essentially.
But I was also scared because at the time, you know, I was dealing with... trying to figure out, you know, when you have a TV show and it goes away, your audience drops.
Yeah.
But mine dropped way more than any comic that was in my level.
Yeah.
And so I was so scared because all I had was stand-up. That's all I had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people say you suck, when people say you're horrible, I have tonight to go in front of those people and make them laugh and get a standing ovation or whatever that is. And that would fill that void or that fear that I had. And so I don't even think I consciously did it. I think I just heard people say he's sick, he's getting sick, and then people not laughing the same and stuff. And instead of addressing it or doing, I just went hominy burritos.
This is what I did on we were on vacation for all of December, and I gained like 20 pounds in December, Dieter.
Where'd you go?
I went nowhere. I just stayed here, and I travel all over, but this time I go, you know what? I'm just going to stay. I'm going to get stuff done around the house. Yeah. You know? But I ate ice cream every night. I was drinking Pepsi and stuff, which I normally don't do. I gained 20 pounds in 1 month.
So now you got to lose it again.
I know. I'm back. Yeah, I'm back to eating. I'm so miserable now. I'm back to eating fruit and nuts, and everything is non-processed. I did lose 5 pounds this week, though.
There you go.
So. Well, that's a lot, bro. That's good.
Oh, man. But it's... Now, what is your... You're married, right?
So now that's where I'm going
to go. Aren't you married?
Yeah. Two kids.
What is she... think? Does she like the skinny Carlos Mencia or the fat Carlos Mencia?
She likes the not too thin but not fat.
Yeah. So less than you are now.
Yeah. Her thing
but
is,
not as skinny as
you
are.
You know what it is? She says, I want you to get on top of me without me instinctually putting my elbows down and my hands up to make sure you don't squish me. and that's when you know, like, that's when I know I'm getting too heavy, when, you know, she kind of braces herself and goes, when I'm about to get on top. So I was like, okay.
She's holding her breath.
Yeah, exactly.
Like she's going underwater or something.
Exactly. And it's like, and that's me causing this effect. It's scary. It's scary.
How old are your kids now?
My youngest is 2.5. We were not expecting him. My wife didn't tell me she got off the pill. And
she didn't tell you?
No.
Boy, that sounds like this sounds like this would be an argument, my friend.
Nah, because I didn't really care, but like it was one of those.
Leave that detail out? Like, I'm going to stop taking the pill.
Well, she says she supposedly told me.
Uh-huh. Oh, you just tuned her out like guys tend to do.
And she told me that she told me in the middle of the night, which I was like, really? Uh-huh. Like, you're going to realize? So it's kind of like, well, wait a minute. Did you really tell me?
Yeah.
Or is this one of those things? But I was totally cool with having another kid. Our kid was starting to get, not spoiled, but just, he's starting to become a dick because he's a single child.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know any better.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know how to share. He didn't know how to deal with other people. He didn't, you know, so... When she got pregnant, I thought, this is good for him. He needs to be told, you need to get out of that room because that's a baby room, and move to another room.
And how old is he now, your son?
He's 12. Okay. No, 13. He just turned 13.
Just turned 13.
So he's a little teenager, just got a phone. So
is he?
I got to deal with that.
Is he a... he's going to be looking up porno and
Yeah. He's already crazy, looked up porn. Like, I saw it. I saw it in the history.
You've already seen it.
I have track of all his stuff.
When you, I don't know how old you are, but I'm 44. When we were kids, getting porn was like
porn.
It was like you'd find some old magazine somewhere hidden under a mattress, and it was like, oh my god, it was eureka. But now these kids, they're pulling up porn in school.
Dude, I was waiting for the JCPenney catalog, and I'll never forget in 1981. In the swimsuit edition, one of the pubes was sticking out. They didn't catch it. Dude, that was amazing.
That did it for you. Yeah.
Oh, bro, I went back to that page like 1,000 times, bro. But that was like the porn. And then I discovered when we moved and I was 15, going on 16, my dad had 8mm black and white porn.
Yeah.
But it didn't have any sound. So it was like a black and white. It was in the 50s. The chick was wearing bloomers.
Wait a second. Would you actually project this, or would you just take the reel of film
and
look at it?
No, we had a projector.
Okay.
So I set up the projector.
It seems to be like a thing you could get caught doing, you know, like your dad walks in and, you know, it's not something like
but my mom and dad had jobs.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, you know, if I got home at a certain time, I knew they weren't going to be home, and it was totally cool. So I went up, I took it up to the attic and I played it, but it wasn't a turn on because first of all, there was no landscaping.
Hmm.
I mean, this was full on.
Yeah.
It wasn't even 70s porn. It was like 50s porn because it was black and white. She was wearing bloomers.
Uh-huh.
So totally unsexy. The ones that look like not sexy at all, bro.
Yeah.
And she was a little thick.
Yeah.
It just, dude, there was nothing about it. Nothing about it. Let me put it to you this way. I went back downstairs to the magazine with the pube after I saw that. It wasn't good enough, bro.
So what was
it
your dad hanging on to this weird 50s porn for?
I never asked him. Huh. I still to this day haven't asked him.
And he probably doesn't even know that you know that
probably
it exists.
Probably doesn't know. But I do buy him his Viagra.
Yeah.
So
he's still pumping away at mom.
He's still pumping away at mom, dude.
How many kids when you were growing up were in the house at one time? I mean.
At one point, so 8 girls were born in a row before me. And I wore hand-me-downs.
Yeah.
So I wore chicks' clothes. Not dresses, but I did wear Jordache jeans.
This day and age, wearing those dresses, you'd be very popular.
I would, dude, and I was thin and everything. I fit the skinny jeans. It would have been great, man. Yeah. I look good in Jordache jeans, bro. Like, I look back now and go, I got guys, hardcore gang members, to tell me that I had a nice ass. That was pretty cool, man. Looking back, it's like, there's something nice about a hardcore dude who just got out of prison and be like, hey, what was this? A nice ass. You really think so, little puppet? Like,
did you grow up in a rough area where you grew up?
Yeah, we were shot at. I remember I did a show, I did Nightline, and while they were interviewing me, I go, that dude up there, he sexually abused all the kids. And of course, they didn't put that in there because whatever. But yeah, there's this dude named Jimmy who, by the way, none of us knew that he did it to all of us until like 10 years ago. We were all hanging out, and somebody said, hey, you do a joke about how you were abused as a kid, and blah, blah, blah. I go, yeah, it was Jimmy. And then I saw the look on, like, 8 of our faces, and I looked at him, and I remember thinking, oh, my God, he did it to you, too? And they all kind of just took a second and took a breath, and then we kind of had a session where we all were like, dude, I can't believe he abused us. So what he was a teenager, and he would take us up to his room and play music and stuff. And, you know, he was the adult.
How old were you?
I was 10.
Okay.
And we were all pretty much the same age. So he did the same thing. Mm-hmm. He took us up individually and told us we were special and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, abused us. And one time when I was 18... He said something to me like, I heard you're selling drugs. You better not be selling drugs. And I said, really? The dude who had sexual relations with a 10-year-old is trying to tell me to watch out for the kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he walked over and swung at me and tried to punch me in the face. And I went in the house and got my 9mm. And my mom stopped me from going outside. Mm-hmm. So I think if it wasn't for my mom, I'd probably be in jail for a murder.
You would have killed Jimmy.
Yeah.
So he did this to everyone. And
I didn't know at that time he'd have done to everyone. But had I known, my mom wouldn't have been able to stop me.
Whatever happened to Jimmy? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, he ended up hooked on heroin and crystal meth, and his life is an utter disaster, and he lost
still
his kids,
alive,
he lost his wife. No, he's dead.
Oh, he's dead.
Died of an overdose.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, couldn't be happier about it.
Yeah.
Well, could not be happier about it.
Later in life, when you realized what had happened, did you consider telling the authorities or anything?
It was way beyond. Yeah. Like, this happened, I mean... Yeah, this was 10 years ago, so this happened like almost 30 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, for all of us.
Yeah.
It was a good thing that we found out, because we all were able to kind of go like, "Oh my God, I've been holding this in for all these years."
How do you think that's affected you as an adult? Do you think that trauma as a 10-year-old child, and how long did that continue on for?
That was just one time.
Just one time.
Just one time.
Just one time. No kidding.
But I was sexually abused by my female cousin many times. And I was 8 and she was a teenager.
That doesn't sound as bad, though.
Yeah, it doesn't sound as bad.
It sounds like kind of cool.
I know, dude. I mean, I got to throw it out there, because she was a chick and I was a guy. And, you know, it sounds, but yeah.
Wait a second. So 8 years old?
So I was 8 and that happened for a few years, and it happened a multitude of times.
And this was a cousin of yours.
Yeah. So I just felt the tingle that you feel when you're like climbing the poles.
Yeah.
That's all I felt.
Now,
but we were full
on.
So
you're telling me your first sexual relation was at 8 years old.
8 years old, bro.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, whatever happened to that cousin? Do you ever see her anywhere?
nah. Well, I see her every once in a while, but it messed me up because when I was 15, I had another relationship with another cousin of mine.
What?
Yeah. Well, dude, when you're having sex with your cousin when
no
you're
no wonder
eight.
These conservatives want to send all the Hondurans back and build and nobody, a wall. And I mean, my God.
But nobody tells you, like, when you grow up thinking that that's normal. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? It wasn't until I was 15.
Your family was so big, it was almost impossible not to screw one of your cousins.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. But my dad did kind of tell me, like, bro, you can't bang family members. And I was like, dude, I've been doing it since I was eight. You're a little late to this party, Dad. And then he kind of tried to tell me, like, no, that's not normal. They were not supposed to do that, and this is not supposed to happen. So that stopped.
Do you think that
did it affect me? Of course it did.
I mean, having sex at the age of eight. I mean, now that you have kids now too, your kid's 13. You saw him when he was eight.
Yes. Yeah. But it affected me more so in the fact that. Things don't bring me down as much as they normally would because I've realized that good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good. Mm. And so you have to deal with life like that. So it's helped me. And also when I go on stage, part of my fearlessness is that I have things in my pocket that I could throw at the audience that I'd never have. Like, dude, I was sexually abused as a kid. Like, really, you want to complain about a joke I just told? That's the worst part of your day? Mm-hmm. Like, you want to know what it's like to have your dad tell you you're not supposed to bang your cousin when you're 15 and you go, really? Because you didn't know? You know what I mean? That's it just takes you to a different place. So as far as stand-up was concerned, it's liberated me in ways that, you know, for
well,
a lot
most,
of other
most men probably would
that.
Not even admit that they were.
I was even sexually abused by a priest when I was a kid, so that was part of it.
Well, now that I've heard this, three different people, I think you were sending out signals.
You're going to ask me what was
asking for?
Ask me,
what were you wearing?
Yeah. Hand me downs, dude. That's what I was wearing. I was wearing tight jeans. That's what I was wearing.
So a priest diddled you too?
Yeah.
Yeah. My God, how old were you then?
That one I was 10 going on 11.
I mean, this is... But, so what do you attribute this to? Do you attribute this to that you grew up in an underprivileged neighborhood
and
where
listen,
kids
bro,
could be taken advantage of?
Are you trying to tell me that I don't look like I was a sexy kid? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just... No. Did people take advantage of kids because they were in this underprivileged neighborhood? They figured no one's going to report this, especially if you're an immigrant. You don't want to...
You know what? Okay, so my cousin, she was just dirty.
Okay. What's her number? I'd like to reach out to her.
This is a teenager doing an eight-year-old.
Yeah, yeah.
That's total manipulation. Yeah. That was like...
But she might have been, if you look back at it...
She taught me so much.
She could have potentially been abused herself. If she's doing that to an eight-year-old cousin...
Correct.
Who was diddling her?
Never asked, bro. Yeah. Never went there. Was way too young.
Yeah.
So that one. The Jimmy thing was a one-time thing, and he did it to everybody. So I kind of go, okay, the priest that I know of did it to a lot of people as well. So I was always, you know, and I don't know about my cousin, but I was one of many in all these situations.
So do you believe that that had a lasting psychological effect on the mind of Mencia?
Sure it did. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but I'm sure it is.
Did you go to therapy or anything?
Yeah, I've been in therapy for a while now, about all this stuff.
Do you still go to therapy even now, or are you...
Yeah, still do. It's like, I used to go once a week for a little bit. There was twice a week. Now I go once every other week, or, you know, once every 3 weeks or something like that, just to go check up and be okay, talk to somebody that I can be completely open with, and, you know, whatever that, like, you know, because there are certain things I can't hang out and talk to my wife about. You know, I can't be like, man, there was this girl, she wanted to do me in the bathroom. Just so you know, I didn't do it, but it made me feel wanted. You know what I mean? You know, you're on my side, right, babe? that's not a conversation that you can have with just anybody, but that is a conversation that I can have with my therapist. And, you know, but there's always still, like, schisms, you know what I mean? There's always... I will always have people that are going to say negative things about me for the rest of my life and going back to the past. And so, you know, there's always like a moment of a dump truck where I have to kind of take all the stuff that I've not spoken about or held in, or you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of stuff that goes through my mind. Like on the way here, I was listening to my opener was planned that Bobby Lee was on the show, and I was thinking about all the openers and stuff, and then I was thinking about what Bobby said to you, and then I went, wait a minute, Bobby didn't tell you one of the biggest parts of that whole story, which was Bobby Lee got beat up really bad by Ari Shaffir.
Will you hold this thought? Let me just take a break.
Okay.
Yeah, because Bobby Lee was here. I wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm fascinated. I think I've told you one of the times you've been here in the past.
Yeah.
I find your life fascinating because you were at the top of the comedy game.
I
have a lot of sympathy for you.
Right.
Because you're at the top of your game.
Right.
You get in this argument with Joe Rogan. All this stuff goes down. But regardless, maybe it doesn't matter whether you're right or wrong, whether you did anything wrong, you didn't. What I find fascinating about that is what you have to go through as a human, as a professional comic.
Right.
You know, people, the other thing that I find interesting is people don't think of, they just go, oh, Carlos Mencia stole jokes, whatever. But you have a wife, you have a family, you got income, they don't think about all this kind of stuff. This is what I find.
The humanity of it?
Yes. This is what I find, and I think I told you last time you were here. It's so interesting to me that you have really been through the ringer, emotionally, professionally.
Yeah.
Do you think Joe Rogan wanted this to happen? Like, wanted that to be that bad?
I don't know. I love, because I've never had a problem with Joe. I've never said anything bad about Joe. I've never berated Joe. He's never accused me of stealing any of his jokes. It was just that, you know, he was defending other people, I guess. But here's my thing, and here's what I've said for forever, whenever anybody's ever brought stuff up. I've literally recorded all my shows since 1992. So I have, way back in those days, they used to make a small, and it was the only one that they made. It was a small Tascam digital audio tape. Remember the DAT recorder that was about that big?
Yeah, I remember those, yeah.
That one was, I used to record them on that. So I've been able to transfer all stuff since 1992. So whenever somebody says, hey, man, blah, 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 I'll say, okay, listen, I've recorded all my shows. So tell me what joke it is, when it was done. I'll go back in my archives. I'll find when I did it. And if this other person you're saying did it first, or you did it first, then I'll stop doing it. I'll apologize. If not, then I'll move on. And whenever I've said that, they just go, oh, you know what you did. And then like it moves on. It's like, it's so bizarre, man. I've lived to see such crazy, cool moments. And then others were the reverse. Like, I have this friend named Juan Villarreal. And Juan was really young when I met him, and when I meet young talented guys, I want to help them out. So I put him on this TV show that I was doing called Loco Slam, and he did the show, and he calls me up 6 months after the airing of the show, and he says, hey, are you gonna be performing in Corpus Christi? And I said, I'm sure I am at some point. Why? I was just there and they paid me to headline, and I don't have the material, so I did about 40 minutes of your act. And I was like, wow, well, thanks for calling, bro. And I thought, you know what? I'm not even doing that material. I already burned it on TV anyway. No, nobody cares. Whatever. So he weaned himself off of my material and, you know, began to write his own material, which is what a lot of comics do. That, you know, I remember listening to the older guys, you know, who used to say, the Chris Rocks used to say, oh, when I first started, I was all Eddie Murphy and blah, blah, blah. So I thought that was kind of part of the package for young comics. But here's the interesting thing. So I'm performing with him last year, and I'm coming out of the bathroom, and there's a wall. And on the other side, I hear a guy telling him, how can you work for this guy who steals your act? He acts like you. He's just like you. And I know he does your act. And I heard Juan say, it's the opposite. He's my mentor. He's my idol. If we sound the same, it's because I want to be like him. He's only given me, he actually gave me permission to do his material. He's the guy.
I want to, let me take a break.
But by the way, this is the best part. And then the guy goes, Yeah, well, F him anyway. And I was like, what? He just told you everything you said F was wrong.
Can't win, Carlos.
You just can't win.
Carlos Mencia is here. He's going to be at the Funny Stop tonight at 9:30. Tomorrow at 9:30.
It's actually, there's two shows, 9:30 and something.
So. Okay, all right. So tonight, Dom, you got, give me the second shows on these.
Whatever
shows.
It is, just go to carlosmencia.com, guys.
All right, let me take a break. You brought up Bobby Lee.
Yeah.
He was just here 2 days ago.
Oh, nice.
And I'll play for you the what he said, because I right when he said it, I knew that you were going to be here, and I go, I want to get Carlos's reaction to this, because I think that is an incredibly interesting thing what he said on the show, and I want to see how you feel about what he said. So if you missed it the other day, I'll play it. It's just like a minute or 2 minute long clip. I'll play that for you, and we'll get Carlos's reaction right after this. We'll be right back on Rover's Morning Glory. Hang on.
iHeart Radio Station. WMMS.
Craziest show on radio.
Whoa! I've never seen anything like this.
Literally.
I mean, like, four of the people on it have PTSD. Yeah!
We now return to Rover's Morning Glory.
Carlos Mencia is here with us. Dom got me all of the info. He's at the Funny Stop tonight, 7:30 and 9:30. Tomorrow, 7:30 and 9:30.
There you go.
CarlosMencia.com or FunnyStop.com for tickets.
Oh, by the way, we're recording not only audio but video this time. So be aware, dress appropriately. You might end up on camera. So come with somebody that you can be seen on camera with. Let's throw that out there.
Don't come with your mistress.
Don't show up with your mistress.
Okay.
In a Mexican, you call it a Sancha or a Sancho. That's your mistress or miss, you know.
This is, you mentioned Bobby Lee. Bobby Lee was just here 2 days ago.
Love Bobby.
And somehow you came up. I don't remember what it was. Do you remember how it came up?
Oh, man, I don't.
He was probably talking about, like, oh, dude, because my list of openers.
Oh, I know what it was. No, I know what
great.
It was.
What was it?
He was talking about
not getting thanked.
Some people that he's helped out.
Oh, nice.
Bringing up. And that
that's good.
They've kind of turned into dicks towards him.
I've had some of that.
And so somehow, I guess you helped him when he was
starting. Dude, I gave him a car that he flipped over on. I gave him a car and so he could get from gig to gig. And then he shows up late to a gig and I go, dude, I got you a car. And he goes, yeah, I got off the freeway in East LA and flipped it over. Flipped so it's on over. The side of the road.
Here's
so that's my thing. And in my head, I'm like, I gave an Asian dude a car and he crashed it. That literally happened.
Here is, here's Bobby Lee talking about Carlos Mencia.
Carlos Mencia helped me out more than any other person in the world.
Okay.
He bought me a car when I had no car. If I couldn't pay rent in the 90s,
yeah,
I could always go to his house. He lived in Silver Lake, and he would give me, like, cash.
Yeah.
Like, he is a good guy, right? And because of the Rogan thing and the whole thing that happened between him, my career was being sunk because I was so attached to Mencia's name that I had to cut that.
Okay.
That was out of survival. That's, I think, understandable.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Does Carlos Mencia, who I believe is going to be on our show tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
About that. What's
Friday?
That? Friday.
Will Bobby still be in town?
No.
Does
he hate you now because you cut
Carlos? No, because I, you know, and
he looks so uncomfortable, poor thing.
I mean, I've said this openly. I just said it now. Yeah, I love him. He help me, but the political fallout would have been so devastating for me, and I feel guilty, but I cut ties, right? Mm-hmm. But in radio and podcast, I say it verbally, you know? Is there some behavioral things that he did that I wouldn't have done? Maybe. But, you know, I give... But do I love Joe Rogan? Love him.
So when he said this, I was...
Yes.
I was curious. When it sounds like you really helped him out. Sounds like he's very thankful for it.
Not only that, but before you even go to where you're going, because it's really important for the rest of the story, so you give him even more context. we were doing a sketch on Mina Mencia that we had not booked, but we had told Ari Shaffir, like, put this time aside. We're going to call you to let you know that you have the part for sure, but, you know, not giving it to him yet. Mm-hmm. I get a phone call from Bobby saying, Ari, beat my ass.
Beat him up.
Don't give him any work. That night, I went to the Comedy Store, and I said, Ari, which Ari is like, you know, 6'7", and Bobby's, you saw how little he is, 5'3", 5'4". I go, Ari, what are you doing beating up Bobby? You know, that's not cool, dude. He's a baby. Like, he's little. What's wrong with you? And he goes, I don't care, dude. If I see him right now, I'll do it again. So I immediately called the guy who was working on Mina Mencia and said, hey, man, don't book Ari. Book somebody else. Mm-hmm. Don't put him on the show because he beat up
Bobby
Lee.
Why did he beat up Bobby Lee?
I have no idea. A friend of mine who's little got beat up by a big guy, told me, you know, hey, defend me, and I did. And that was the beginning, by the way, of Ari saying that I took the joke from that, the wall joke that so many people did.
Right.
From him, it was right then when all that started.
Ari and then is an Rogan instigator. Started. Ari is definitely an instigator.
Right. So he's the one, like, this. That's what got all of this started. So there's a video that got taken off. But there was a video of, because then I said to Bobby, dude, I'm getting all this flack. And it's because of you. Part of it, anyway, is because you started this by making me make enemies with these guys. Mm-hmm. And I did it for you. And so I said, you need to do a video saying what you did, because people need to know that this guy's coming at me because he's pissed I didn't put him on the show. Mm-hmm. And this is your fault. You told me not to put him on. And it was up for a few hours. And the hate that he got in that amount of time, he called me crying and said, I can't. I'm not like you, dude. I can't take this. Mm-hmm. I have to take it off. So when I hear him say that he had to cut ties, dude, I completely understand where he was coming from. On the other hand, to be left alone in the most crucial time as a comedian, you know, when he says, I didn't have any friends. Yeah, I did. He was one of them. And
yeah, he talks about that later in the clip. He says, You didn't have a lot of friends in the
correct.
Comedy industry.
Because I was working. Yeah. I was on the road. I didn't smoke. I didn't drink. I didn't sit around and say, you know, why does Dice get a TV show? That's stupid. That was never me. Like, I never felt like that was a good thing to do. It was just.
So you had a few friends, and then they did what Bobby did.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not like I didn't have friends. It's that the friends that I had were all lower tier comedians, and they couldn't afford to say anything. The only person that was above tier that did defend me, and when he did, everybody shut up, was Robert Schimmel. When Robert Schimmel was alive, he would tell you, like, dude, I don't even want to hear anything. I've seen Carlos Mencia go up on stage and do 45 minutes of stuff that I've never seen that just happened. No, he's a genius. I don't want to hear it. He was a big defender, but all these other guys.
Joe Rogan had him killed. I mean,
yeah, gave him cancer. But, you know, it was tough, man. It was tough because I did understand. You know what I mean?
As an entertainer, I understood. So you have nothing. And by the way, Bobby Lee probably is in town right now. He's probably getting ready to get on a flight right now, I'm guessing.
Does it hurt as a human being?
Were you going to say something back there, Dumber?
No, you're talking about Bobby, it may be sort of a little off point, but Bobby had mentioned, he told a story one time about going to a brothel in Tijuana.
Yeah.
And going with various comics over the years, and it was early in his career.
Yeah.
He was going with people, and I'm wondering if perhaps
Carlos
may have gone on any of these trips. Bobby told a story about somebody being beat up, a comic who was running his mouth. Does Carlos know this person?
Yeah, no, that had nothing to do with me. I never went with Bobby to do that kind of crazy stuff because I when I first saw Bobby perform, he played a piano song called an arrangement called Standing Ovation. And it was just this, I thought it was really funny because not only was he asking for a standing ovation, but he was literally saying, I'm Asian and my parents made me play the piano, and they thought I was going to be smart. And if I don't do something with this, they're going to kill me. And, you know, standing ovation. And you get a standing ovation. And I just said, I got to bring you on the road. You're really funny. I want to try to cultivate what you have. So the first night I brought him on the road, I go to the bathroom right before he's supposed to go on stage, and I hear some noise coming from one of the stalls. I wait for who's in there to tell him, like, dude, you can't be doing that in public. It's Bobby. And I go, what are you doing, Bobby?
Doing snorting coke or something?
No, he was playing with himself.
Oh.
Yeah, he was self-pleasuring. And I go, what? He goes, yeah, if I don't do that before I go on stage, dude, I get nervous and I cough and I can't do it. So that was a ritual. Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So I never went, like, when he was going to do that crazy stuff.
Yeah.
I never did. Like, no. What I did to him that was mean was, like, his dad used to beat him with a golf club, and I loved playing golf. So I would take him and made him, like, sit next to me in the golf cart for 4 hours while swinging clubs in his face. Totally, mean looking back, but it was fun at the time. And, I didn't think I was hurting his feelings.
So when you see him say something like that, and he says that he had to cut ties with all the stuff you did for him, but he had to cut ties with you because it would have hurt his career. Do you understand where he's coming from, or are you sort of angry that he
as an artist, I understand. Most people just don't understand. There was a period of time these accusations were 15 years ago.
Yeah.
15 years ago. I guarantee you that someone will call in or someone will email or someone will social media and say, why are you having that joke, Defon? Mm-hmm. It doesn't go away. And when it was at its apex, I had friends go, dude, I literally tried to defend you.
I've never seen anything you went through.
And you want me to tell you the sad thing? The two people that defended me died of cancer.
Wow.
Which was Marilyn Martinez and who I just told you, Schimmel.
Yeah.
And they both died of cancer. They were the only two that defended me, but they didn't care.
Well, now I would say that you have to
artist. But as a human being, unbelievably painful.
You are very upset.
Still.
Yeah.
Still. I mean, I still have moments of like darkness and sadness. They're very infinitesimal. You know what I mean? They come and go just so quickly, but yeah, there's still little tiny moments when I'm alone when the emotion of what if all my friends that I did have had defended me?
Mm.
What if all those people that I helped out, the Hims, the Pablo Franciscos, the Joe Coys of the world, the Bobby Lees of the world, I mean, all these guys that are the Cristela Alonzos of the world, the Brad Williams of the world, all of these young guys, it probably would have been different, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? But it wasn't. And it's my penance to pay. And I heard what he was saying about me going on and bumping people, but he put three people in a category. He said me, Eddie Griffin, and Dice.
Yeah.
Well, if you know Dice's career, he was popular a decade more before me. So the way it used to work at the Comedy Store was you became a regular, you busted your ass, you got a TV show, and once you did that, you can come in and grace the stage whenever you wanted. Whether you were Arsenio Hall or Eddie Griffin or, you know, anybody. That's mm-hmm. that was your reward for being on TV. And when Mind of Mencia came out was when Gen Xers or whatever that generation, it was the first generation of I'm an only child. Why do I have to wait? I'm on the list. Why is that guy going on? I was the first guy that I know of that when I got Mind of Mencia, I was like, yeah, I get to walk into any comedy club and do whatever I want and bump people like I got bumped. I mean, it was awesome. Yeah. And then I did it and I had no idea what I was doing, bro. I should have been paying attention to everybody around me. But I didn't, because for me, it was like, these are the rules. This is how it's set. You get a spot at 10 o'clock, but guess what? Arsenio showed up. Oh, so guess what? Martin Lawrence showed up. Oh, you're on at 1 o'clock in the morning, Carlos.
So in hindsight, you look back and you say, I did do some dick things, but of course. At the time I didn't realize it. But
I didn't think, no, see.
It was just, I paid my due, I'm expecting. It's like
exactly,
hazing.
Exactly, like dude. Hazing. Yeah, you know what? That's what I feel like. Dude, there is no better analogy than that. I feel like I got the plunger in my butt and the whole thing, you know what I mean? And I took it like a man, and I almost drank myself to death and whatever, and I was like, yeah. And the next year, I'm like, well, all right, where's the plunger? And they're like, we can't do that anymore. What? What are you talking about? So I still did the plunging, thinking that it was okay.
Yeah.
And I paid an unbelievable price for it.
Yeah.
And the unbelievable price is that it's kind of like the people that are on that tip of me being a joke thief pretty much are always on that tip. Or it just turned it off. I mean, here's what gets me. I have SiriusXM and I'm listening to the comedy greats. And I listened to it for I don't know how many hours, and then I heard some comics and I'm like, okay, comedy great. And then I realized that they don't play me on comedy greats.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, if it wasn't for the joke stealing thing, I would be on Comedy Greats. Just that little thing, it just pierces a little part of my soul for a second. And today I'm strong enough to kind of put it in perspective, not brush it aside, but kind of deal with it. I need a lot of therapy to do that, bro. It's very hurtful, man. Oh, it's very painful.
I can only imagine what, and look, I'm 30, not,
33
I'm not a,
years.
I'm not an insider on this stuff. I don't know comedians and comics and how it all works. I just know from a human perspective what you obviously went through, right or wrong, whether you were wrong, whether you did good things, bad things, whatever the case may be.
Right.
All I know is, you're a guy that was on top of the world making a boatload of money. And
right.
Literally almost overnight,
right.
You had the rug pulled out from under you, your persona non grata.
Completely.
And you can't earn a living. You don't have any other skills,
correct.
Probably.
Correct.
It would be like if someone came in and took my radio show away. What else am I going to do with my life? I don't know.
Right.
So maybe on that, I can relate to you in that way because this is all I have.
Right.
And all you have is your comedy. I went back last night and I did watch that, the original Joe Rogan confrontation video with you. And
right.
Then at the end, there's these other comics who are outside. I don't know if it's a comedy store or whatever.
Exactly.
And there was one ironic part about this is that Steve ran as Izzy was
right
was at the end.
Exactly, dude.
And this is a guy, and he's like, yeah, Carlos steals jokes. This is a guy who lied about being in the Twin Towers on 9/11.
Oh, man. He had the balls to question my integrity, bro, while he was lying about being in the trade centers when they collapsed.
I did. I haven't watched that video in like 10 years or whatever, but I watch it and I get to the end and I'm like, wait, this is the guy that lied about being in the Twin Towers on 9/11.
Yes.
That's some balls.
Yes.
Calling anyone out for anything.
Yes, dude. But
you know what? And he's been on the show, and we've confronted him about it. He doesn't need to be confronted anymore about it, but I also, at the time when it first came out, even he wasn't on the show, but the day that story broke, I said, it's a bad thing what he did.
Right.
But I can understand how it could happen where you say something to one thing. Because I used to come up with like weird lies when I was in junior high and be like, my dad's a professional baseball player. And then like you this lie, it like then you see someone and then like a year later, they're like, what team's your dad playing for now? And you're
right.
And you have to continue this lie, and it just takes on a life of can't backtrack after the fact.
Sure.
So he tells a lie about being in the Twin Towers on 9/11. Steve Rannis, as he does, he tells it probably to someone and thinks this is going to be the end of it, but then they tell someone, and then they tell someone, and before you know it, you're like 6 months in, a year in, you're like, I can't backtrack on that story now.
Right.
I have to go with it. And then that turns into 10 years before you're called out on it, and now you look like a major jerk. I'm not condoning what he did, but I could see how it's possible that it happened.
Me looking back at it when that happened, I was like, wow, this guy had the balls to say that about me.
When he got called out in that New York Times article, you were probably dancing around in your living room going,
look at
this son of a bitch.
No, dude, I was like, are you kidding me, dude? Seriously? But it just highlighted to me the fact that, you know, I was at one time not just hated, but you had to hate me.
Yeah.
Like, in order to be a cool comic, you had to not like me. You had to be bad. I've had some of my fans have had to defend me. I feel so horrible about that.
Is there, and under any circumstance, Joe Rogan is a big podcast now.
Partially built on hating me for the first year.
I would say that that's probably true.
Mm-hmm.
Under any circumstances, if he asked you to come on his podcast, would you?
I've never hated on the guy. I've never had a problem with him. All I would say to him was, as long as we can be real.
I thought you talked smack about him like in interviews.
Never. Okay. Never done that.
Before all of this.
If
he said, come on my podcast, would you do it? And B,
I would ask him, like, to what aim?
Yeah.
To what goal?
You would say no if it's just going to be more beating up on me, probably. But, you know, if you want to hash things out, we can. You would agree to that.
If it was one of those things where he wanted to just argue on his show about me,
mm-hmm.
I probably wouldn't do it just because I'm not in that place anymore. I don't need to argue with people. I don't need to fight with people. You know, everybody I've bumped, everybody that I know of who's ever accused me to my face of stealing jokes, they all have a story of me bumping them. Mm-hmm. Like, even if you listen to the WTF podcast that I did with him, he starts off by going, I had an improv spot and Carlos showed up and he did 45 minutes. And, you know, that.
You rub people the wrong way.
And I mean, I can understand their point of view. My point of view was, this is the way things worked. I paid my dues. I never went on. But the difference was, I didn't complain about it. I didn't think I could go up to Martin Lawrence, you know, during the Martin show and be like, hey, bro, I got a 10 o'clock spot.
Yeah.
Do what you want to do.
If he said, why don't we come on, we'll do my show for an hour, and we won't yell and argue at each other, but we can talk about the facts of everything. You can give your point of view, he can give his point of view, and at the end you walk away, and I'm not saying you're going to be buddies or friends or something like that.
We used to be friends.
If he said that's how it will go down, would you be willing to do that?
Yeah, I don't know what purpose that would serve, because all that would happen, what I would say, dude, tell me what joke. I'll go back and look at it, and we'll just deal with it that way instead of any rhetoric or any BS or any possibilities.
Now you must be hyper-vigilant about anything that you write.
I had been for a while.
You're like, man, let's triple-check that nothing similar like this is.
I found out what the root of the problem was. The root of the problem was, when I was a kid, I never watched stand-up. So when I was 20 and I discovered stand-up, I had no idols. So I didn't go up on stage with the purpose of being Carlin or being, you know, Pryor or being any of these comedians. I discovered those comedians 1 month into doing stand-up when I started working the door at the Comedy Store. Mm. So guys like Charles Cozart, Rick Greenstein, Steve, you know, all these guys that most people have no idea who they are, those were the guys that I was them. I was doing them. I didn't do their jokes per se, because we were doing the same kind of, you know, I was opening, so I couldn't do that, but their persona, what they were doing, I was an amalgamation of all these guys. And so I think that that led to a lot of me being called joke thief when I was young, and it just kind of meandered for a while. And then when Joe kind of tried to take it to a whole nother level, it became a thing. But it wasn't.
Do your kids have to deal with?
They will.
Young now? Another 13-year-old boy is not going to even know anything.
No,
that
that's not
going to
happen. But my son does follow me on Instagram. So, excuse me, he hears, like, he reads some of those comments, and, you know, and I just tell him, don't reply, dude. It's a cesspool out there.
But it's
those moments, dude. Like, when my son first told me that he saw that, And he was like, F that guy, dad. And he was like, what do we do about it? That kind of thing. You know, and I told him, dude, take the high road. It's okay. Don't ever fight back. You don't have to. Inevitably, you know, I have the ability to do what I did again. I'm not going to lose my talent. It's all good. But then for like a millisecond, I think this would be a good time to like commit some violence upon somebody. And then it goes away like immediately, but or even to myself. Yeah. You know what I mean? If it wasn't for my kids, I probably would have thought of, I mean, I did think of suicide.
You did. Those,
oh, hell yes. Oh, God, yes. Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, the first day that I started doing therapy, my therapist said, just so you know, our goal is to make sure that you don't blow up your life and don't kill yourself, because that's where you're at right now. You want to blow up your life and you want to destroy everything and you want to kill who you were, metaphorically, but you also want to end that life, but you can't. You're going to have to deal with your life, so we're going to help you deal with these moments. Mm. But yeah, there were a lot of moments of like wanting to commit suicide and wanting to end it, because this is all I've ever been. I mean, dude, I can get a standing ovation. I could get 8 standing ovations. I could have somebody come up to me and say, which I get about once a week, I came to see you perform so that I can go online and talk smack about you because I believed everything I read. I'm so sorry. Now I know why some of these comics hate you. You're brilliant and blah, blah, blah. Those moments bring me back a little bit, but they also take me to, you know, where would I be if it wasn't for all this negative stuff? You know, what I have to be performing every week, what I have to be, you know, because in order to take care of everything that I've taken care of, I did the math, and the math was very normal, but I went way below that math. So I've had to work way harder than I have for
what kind
for the
of
past
a financial hit did you take 10 years ago? I mean, if you were making,
I went from, let's just say that my income from 1 year to the next dropped 80%.
Wow.
And for a comedian, that's unheard of.
Yeah.
So for a comedian, if a comedian sells 18,000 seats, right, at the basketball arena, and you know, 2 years later, I can still come back and do a 3,000 seat theater.
Yeah.
Easy. And after that, if you're really funny and your shows are good, you could keep doing that 3,000 seat theater for 10, 15 years. Until you stop writing new stuff and people stop coming. I literally went from, you know, selling 20,000 seats to comedy clubs.
Yeah.
I mean, like immediately overnight. And
did you have to?
There were hard moments, bro.
Did you have to? Was it the financial situation? Did you have to get rid of stuff like your house, or did you have to move it down?
I haven't had to do that yet, but I am gonna have to get rid of my motorcycles. I have 13 motorcycles. But most, I'm doing it because I don't ride as much as I used to, and I'm gonna get rid of those and get like a bagger so that I could ride more comfortably. Because the ones I have right now are just extreme models of stuff that they built for me. So I'm gonna get rid of that stuff, but. Within the past like 2 years, it hit bottom and it's going back up. Attendance at clubs.
How's your wife?
Is going up?
Because I know how women like to spend.
Sure.
How's your wife? She's probably living a lifestyle 10 years ago. She's got had all the nice stuff. And then
everybody in my family is still living their lifestyle. I'm just working way harder than I have to maintain that lifestyle.
Yeah.
So instead of, you know, instead of doing a tour 4 months out of the year and do here one night. So let's say Ohio. I do Columbus one night, here one night. I do Cincinnati one night. I do Dayton one night. You know what I mean? Maybe throw a one nighter at a small club for a guy that I appreciate, an owner or something like that. Instead, if I'm going to do that, that's going to be a month's worth of work because I'm doing a weekend at each place.
Mm-hmm.
So it just becomes a more elongated period of plus there was, you know, listen, up until last year, nobody wanted to give me a special. I was going to do one, pay for it myself and then sell it because, you know, a lot of people just didn't want to put their hands on. Well, we don't want to be the guys that say, yeah, Carlos is back.
But
and
this is what I don't understand.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, sure, that,
but that's hard, bro.
But I don't understand. Maybe it's just because, I mean, I know a lot of comedians, but sure. I don't know the business. Even if you take at face value everything that was alleged against you, joke thief, this and that, let's just say it's all true.
Correct.
For the sake of the argument.
Okay.
Does that mean that you can have no redemption 10 or 15 years later?
For a lot of people, yes. It's Michael Vick. When he gets out of jail, he served his time. People said, why should he be, he shouldn't be playing. He shouldn't be in the NFL anymore. So, yeah, for a lot of those people, there is no redemption, you know, for a lot of us. You can never come back from that, which is, it's a hard pill to swallow, bro. It's a very difficult thing when you're in a business where it's about people. It's about making people laugh, making people feel good. And, you know that you're going to get the negative side of that, yeah. The internet side of it, the hate side of it, the people that just want to hate you, period, end of story, the people that just want to say negative stuff. And it's a difficult thing to deal with, because when, no matter what I do to some people, it can be boiled down to that. It's, and you know, sometimes I'll go a week or two or three or a month and I won't read something, or I won't be looking at it, or I'll tell my brother, why don't you just delete all those or block all those comments, or you know what, don't block them, let my fans deal with it, they'll tell these people what's up. But then, you know, somebody says something or does something, you know, and it just, it's like that moment where it takes you right back to all the pain.
Right.
The only cool thing about it now is that I'm able to deal with that pain. I'm able to say to myself, stop, don't get in the moment, don't get sucked into it. It is what it is. It's been what it's been. You know, things are turning around. Things are finally, people are starting to see you for who you are now and not what you were or what they thought you were. And so,
if you listen to that whole Bobby Lee interview, he talks about that you were the best at doing what he's never seen anyone better than you. I think he told me.
Right.
So, I mean, even if you take every allegation against you and it was totally true, which I would find hard to believe. Some of them probably are true, obviously. But even still, I think 10 or 15 years later, someone can have redemption. I don't know the bags. I don't know all the people involved in backstories and that, blah, 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 blah. I'm just talking from an outsider what I think, that there could be a...
But there was never a campaign either, right? Like this stuff, okay, so this stuff used to be taken care of face-to-face, man-to-man. You know what I mean? Somebody would walk up to somebody and say, like, as an example, anytime I ever heard anybody say that I took something, I would confront that person. So, like, the video that you saw was Joe was up on stage about to introduce a friend of mine named Kirk Fox, and he said something about me while he was on stage. So then I went up on stage and I said, Joe, why don't you come up on this stage and tell everybody what jokes I stole from you? Since you're calling me Carlos Mencia and you're saying that I'm a joke thief, why don't you tell everybody what joke I took from you? And then at that moment, like, other comics started going, you took my joke. I was like, hey bro, I'm talking to him, not you. This is a him thing. And then it became something completely different. But that happened because I went up on stage and tried to deal with these allegations, as I always have. But for me, I did it man to man. You talked about me on stage. I walked up while you were on stage. And to me, we were dealing with it. This was the first time that those issues got taken out of the comedy club world and into the real world.
Yeah, for the first
time. Edited, put on YouTube, all this stuff. And it's the only time that I know of where there's a campaign of somebody on a consistent basis saying negative things about another comic and never saying he did anything to me.
Yeah.
Like, this was never personal to him, because Joe's never said I'd never bumped Joe, because he was always bigger than me in TV. You know, he was Fear Factor guy. Before that, he was on that NBC show where he played fixer or whatever that was. So he always was on TV. So I never bumped him. So if he's on schedule, I go on after him, not before him. So I never did bump him, and he's never accused me of taking any of his jokes. So how that guy wanted to do so much negative stuff toward me is, you know, is a question that to ask him.
What is it about the Comedy Store that every guy who comes in here, that, I mean, it's just, how did this become the epicenter of the comedy world? And why is it the epicenter of the comedy world?
Because it's a dark place.
Yeah.
It is a dark place where great comics are born, because it is a dark room and a dark place, and you can do dark material, but you're also able to do stuff that, you know, you can't do. I mean, let me tell you where I sharpened my teeth as a comic was going on after Richard Pryor at 1:15 in the morning, and there's only 15 people left in a room that had 220 at its fullest.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, those were the moments where I was like, if I can make these people laugh after all the people they've seen and Richard Pryor, I know I'm funny. And so those were the moments where my comedic sharpness came into play. But I'm from a different generation. I appreciated those moments, right? Because those moments were, for me as rookie, like, I know I'm in the AAA. I know that I'm right now fetching your water. I know that I'm the guy that's going to go get your spit bucket. I get it. But one day, I'm going to be that guy, you know? And I couldn't wait, bro. I could not wait. I mean, I started in 1988. I got my first show in 1990. I won Star Search International in 1990. From then on, it was just a slight uphill, tread, but I never got it until Minor Mencia. So Minor Mencia started in 04. So that's, almost, I mean, that's 28, like 15, 16 years of stand-up.
Yeah.
So, God, I was so ready for it, man. And I took unbelievable advantage of it. And, looking back, I wish I could have just befriended some of these guys, or at least said to them, hey, do you mind if I go on before you?
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay? But I just can't fathom that.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine Richard Pryor coming up to me asking me if it's okay.
Yeah.
If he goes on, not that I'm Richard Pryor, but even a Martin Lawrence, even a Keenan or any of those guys, I just couldn't imagine them coming up to me and asking me, is it okay if they go on?
Yeah.
And so I just never really comprehended, but it was a different generation. I didn't see it. Eyes wide shut, did have friends, but none, except for the two that I mentioned, they weren't big enough. So they just couldn't take the heat.
When people go see you at the Funny Stop tonight, 7:30 and 9:30 tonight and tomorrow, same time.
Yeah.
What are they in store for?
The funniest and most poignant I've ever been. With everything going on in America, like the one thing that I'm really good at is looking at emotional trends and kind of getting ahead of them, like getting in front of them. So 27 years ago, I don't remember what club, but it was in Ohio. It might have been the Columbus Club. But 27 years ago, I remember, it was at the Funny Bone. So it was at the Funny Bone in Columbus. I said, keep giving children trophies, rewarding mediocrity in a system fundamentally built on competition, and people will die in the future. And last year, when 11 people were shot in Jacksonville, Florida, because that guy lost at a video game called Madden 2018, it created this whole secondary joke that I started way back 27 years ago. So, like, I'm at a place right now where my comedy is just really, really incisive, and it's so much about left and right and regular people and how we're evolving and why we're evolving and the funniness of it and how having less children has changed us as parents. And it's just really, it's solid, man. It's, as a matter of fact, I literally had to go to therapy. Well, in a therapy session, I brought this up because I'm doing a lot of jokes that are a little smarter, or at least it feels that way, because I'm getting a lot more. Some people didn't get that joke, mm-hmm. a lot more than normal. And so I had to kind of go, am I becoming that comic? Because I don't want to be that comic. I don't want to be the guy that does stuff that is so, like,
so highbrow.
Yeah, I don't want to be that. I just, So I was like, God, am I becoming that comic? And then in going through my material, it wasn't. And then in talking with other comics, they were like, no, dude, audiences are getting dumber. They're literally getting dumber. And there was a consensus between me and a bunch of comics. And I can't even mention them because a lot of them are big names like that we've befriended. It's funny how a lot of the guys in the past years who have gotten in real trouble and kind of been shunned from the comedy world a little bit, mm-hmm. they all end up calling me and asking me how to deal with this.
Like, you know, like what's his face? who am I thinking of? The masturbator. who's that theater? What's
Louis C.K.?
Louis C.K. Did he call you?
No, I can't talk about any of that stuff.
Forget about that. But just from a standpoint of, I would see almost a parallel there.
Yeah, I've talked to a lot of those people.
But that seems to me like he went through as far as career, money, that kind of thing. Yeah. Same exact
going
thing.
Going through the same thing.
Rug ripped out from him overnight.
The same thing right now. Yeah. And he's performing at comedy clubs because he kind of has to right
and
now.
And people are yelling and shouting him down. Yes. And they're angry.
Yes. With him. And it's ironic because he and I were at
the Gersh Agency. You could talk to him.
No, I can't. I can't talk about that
stuff.
Did
he masturbate while he's on the phone with you?
No, but
Carlos, tell me what was it like?
But he did. But one time we did talk about that stuff at some point. Yeah. But no, it's been kind of cool helping some of those comics out and telling them like, hey, this is what's going to happen. This is what you're going to deal with.
Your life's going to suck for the next few years. Lou.
You know, this is how it's going to go, and this is what you have to do, and you know, look at it from this perspective, and look at it like this. You have the opportunity to come back and to do something big.
You know
big.
What else I find fascinating about Carlos Mencia and the whole situation is that the attention span of America is so short, except for him. Except for you. You bring up Carlos Mencia and people immediately bring up that thing from 2010 or whatever, the Rogan video.
And it's interesting, right?
Like, you can have a celebrity that...
Sadly, some of it is racial.
You think so?
Well, I mean, I can't say that this is proof, but Dane Cook gets accused of it. It comes and goes.
Yeah.
Amy Schumer gets accused of it. It comes and goes. You know what I mean? I can mention some others, but they just come and go.
But I'm just, I mean, there are celebrities
with
like,
me, it's stuck.
Do you know why? Matthew Broderick killed someone in a car crash. No one remembers that. No.
Right.
But Carlos Mencia, no one forgets that. So the one thing
there was some vitriol
has a long
there,
attention
bro.
Span. They remember that.
But that's really hard to deal with, like, because you can't. You know, in therapy, I've learned that I can't control other people, so I can't control how they feel or how they think. But it's still like sometimes, you know, I want to talk to these people and go, dude, I don't know you. You've never seen me perform live. You have no idea what I do for a living.
All right,
it's
here's
like the
challenge.
Cool thing to hate him.
Yeah,
like,
you're right.
He's the Nickelback of comedy.
that's right.
You don't understand how funny it is because my opening act is a huge Nickelback. Like, he bangs chicks to Nickelback. Oh. That's how much he loves Nickelback.
Oh, so he actually has sex with women and likes Nickelback. What an oddity. he bangs guys to Nickelback. So,
no, he literally bangs chicks to Nickelback.
All right, so here's the challenge. Go see Carlos Mencia at the Funny Stop and make up your own mind tonight, 7:30 and 9:30. Tomorrow, 7:30 and 9:30.
No, everybody will leave happy, dude. It's great. Everybody, listen, I've literally had people pretty much once a week apologize to me that they were, and I don't want to start anything, but I'm telling you what they've said to me. I was a Rogan fan, and I came literally to heckle you.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, that they go see Lewis, and during his show, they heckle him. Well, I've had those people come, and I put one on. I actually put one on YouTube.
Yeah,
one guy heckled me.
Go there with an open mind and see, and then you know.
Come with a not open mind. I'll convince you. I swear to God, that's how good my stuff is.
What is it, Dom?
Well, it's just funny. It is cool to hate him. I feel like I'm the new Carlos Mencia right now.
Oh,
like,
shut
it's cool
up!
To hate Dom.
Really?
I just got tagged. You suck so bad at your job just because I booked him.
Oh, because you booked me?
I didn't even book him.
People hate my producer.
How about you claim it? How about you claim it, bitch? I swear to you. Dude, I don't even know you that well, and you're Bobby Lee me already.
I'm actually saying I'm the new you. Yeah. People they hate love, me they more love than you to hate. Now,
Carlos. Okay, that's good. That's good. You know what? Hate his ass. Good. Let the hate go somewhere else.
Let the hate flow through you.
Carlos, have good shows this weekend.
Thanks, man.
Thank you for coming in.
Love to see you, man. Anytime, brother.
And we will be right back after this. Hang on.
Rovers, an iHeartRadio station. Set your alarm to Rover's Morning Glory. Just say, Alexa, wake me up to 100.7 WMMS on iHeartRadio weekdays at 7 a.m.
A race to the top of the mountain.
Yeah, stick with us. We'll take you to the top.
You like that big boy?
Oh, my God, he's rough.
Rover's Morning Glory.
I think I'm going to have heat stroke. I mean, it is so goddamn hot in here. I mean...
Even out in the hallway.
Is it even in the hallway? It's I haven't bad. Left the studio since the beginning of the morning. I'm always cold everywhere I go. You guys know this. Oh, and yeah. I am sweating my ass off. It Something's is insane. Going on. What's that?
Something's going on because the whole building, the whole floor, smoking. Smoking hot.
I had to take a drink of water. That's how hot it is.
Yeah, I never take off my hoodie, and I'm like just t-shirt in there right now. It's crazy. In there.
It's. I mean, you have all that equipment in there too. Is it just
a little warmer? Yeah.
Did the IT guy get back, or the engineer get back to you?
He says, "Oh." I have to go to a funeral today. I'll call our HVAC guy and have him come check it out, is what the engineer said.
And he won't be here till what, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock?
It is. I mean, someone's got to get on the ball here and get someone in here.
Because I know Dom emailed the building guy, too.
Did he? Okay.
I don't know if he got a reply yet, but...
It's just so hot in the studio. So what'd you think about the Carlos Mencia interview?
Oh, I was into it. Just the whole thing he was saying... I was feeling for the guy. Just because he's right. It never went away. When you think about it, other people go through stuff, it goes away, they come back.
Right.
You're saying Dane Cook and everything, but him, it seems like he's kind
of... Even if he did all the things that he's guilty of, I would say 10 or 15 years is enough time to isn't that enough of a price to pay? And give him a second chance. And if there are other issues or whatever, then so be it. You deal with it at the time. But
what's interesting, too, is Hugh...
He just heard you guys talk about that, and he goes, tell them right now that I have comedic herpes. That's what he says he has right now.
Yeah, no one wants to...
I can't work in this.
Say he didn't really even steal that, but let's just say he did steal it.
Right.
And is that a bad thing? Sure. But how come some comics are allowed to, like, if you're a huge comic, they pay for material from other people?
Well,
that's the key. You're paying for it.
That's the key. You're getting
paying, but still, it's not your original material. I think
most of the big comics aren't doing all of their own material. I mean,
I think why don't people look down on that? Go like, well, this guy, like, I don't know anybody particular. You will, Chris Rock.
You will get people who say that kind of stuff, but they're always people who aren't making much money in comedy, and they're like, so and so pays people for jokes.
Well, when I found that out, I was let down to find out that like a huge comic doesn't. Do 100% original material. It's like, oh, well, what am I watching this for? I don't know.
It's still his delivery, his style.
Exactly. Part of it, I mean, this is why you have writers on The Tonight Show. Because those writers can't get out there and perform the material.
Yeah.
No, I get the writers for The Tonight Show. It's a nightly show. You have to, no one person's going to be able to do nonstop a monologue every day.
But wouldn't you also say that some people are better at performing stand-up than others?
Sure, yeah.
You said Chris Rock. That's a perfect example. He has his delivery, the way he says words and everything.
Yeah.
It's much better than some guy off the street writing the same joke. His voice all goes up. It's high and
Well, and it's really no different than song than artists having like ghostwriters and things like that. And I was even going to say the same thing. People get popped, musical artists, all the time for copying stuff from other bands or artists, and most they don't get blackballed.
Almost every pop artist does not write their own crap.
Taylor Swift.
Which is one that does write their own
crap. Taylor Swift.
She always claims, I write everything.
She's writing the music?
I don't know.
She's sitting with an instrument with a...
She plays instruments.
She's creating the music.
What about Lady Gaga?
She definitely is. I mean, she's up there playing a piano.
So those are a couple of people that write their own stuff.
Okay.
Most of them don't.
Going back to the comics, when we worked in Los Angeles many years ago, you know who Gary Shandling is, right?
Yeah.
He was hosting the Oscars, and I lived in Hermosa Beach, and there was a comedy club that's still there. Is it the Magic Club or something? Jay Leno, I think, is there every week still to this day. And I was out to dinner with this guy who it was a comic, and they called him and they said, so-and-so canceled. Can you come in and fill for open and do the thing? So he's like, do you mind if we go do that? So we went and did that. And in the audience was Gary Shandling. And he performed this joke. Gary was at the club just watching, trying to get material. He later gave my friend a $100 bill. He asked him, he said, can I have that joke? Can I use that?
Mm-hmm.
He paid him $100 right there on the spot.
Hey, if you're a successful comedian and you could pay $100 per joke, some of these guys are making millions of dollars. I'd be doling out $100 bills to comedians left and right, nonstop.
That was the first time I had ever heard of anything like that before, because he liked it. Who knows if he even used it?
The other thing, I'm not a comedian, so I don't know, but even not being a comedian, I have gone to comedy shows and I've seen the comedian perform, and I've thought to myself, that's funny. But he's not. The guy just sucks. And I think if you're a comedian, you may go and see another comic and go, that's a funny joke. I could kill with that.
Right.
And that might be a reason why you would ask to do, because I see that all the time. In fact, I've been to shows. I don't go very often, but I've seen comedians with my wife, and afterwards I'll go, what's the guy, what's his mindset of performing that way? I mean, with like literally no stage presence and no energy and no delivery. Like, what?
Maybe they think that's funny.
Yeah, like, who's
that one
guy? Not that one guy that talks like this.
Stephen Wright?
That's his shtick.
What about, like, Mitch Fatale? You like that guy? He's got a weird stage presence. He hates being on stage.
He is so funny.
But he's very funny. That's his thing.
I think I've only seen him once, and I don't remember whether it was funny or not. I don't recall. Good.
But his whole presence is
that.
The lack of presence.
Right.
I don't know. I was thinking about it. Carlos was here during the break, and he was talking about these, you know, when he started, and he was would have sort of the same, you know, his inspirations. You have sort of the same personality or same demeanor or whatever the case may be. It took me longer than 5 years to be able to find your own voice. It might have taken, it was over 5 years. I don't know if it was 10 years, but it was definitely over 5 years after I started in radio to be able to feel comfortable being me and not having an influence of other radio people that you looked up to.
Sure.
Or other shows that you liked or whatever the case may be. It also took a long time for me to be able to say things on the air. When I first started out, especially in talk, it took a long time for me to be able to say stuff on the air that I believed, but like I would put things through a filter. Is this what the audience wants to hear? I would always put that through a filter when I was starting out in talk. And
and cater eventually, to them.
Right. Eventually, I go,
I don't care. Right.
I'm going to tell you, I don't care whether you agree with me or not, whether you like me or not.
Right.
This is what I think. And if you don't, screw you. That's your problem, not mine.
Well, I think that's also with the security of your career, the contract.
Yeah, money. I guess contract and money right. helps out a little bit, doesn't it? Yeah,
because if you seriously.
No, I mean that's true. Yeah. There's definitely no doubt about it.
You're doing what your bosses are telling you to do. What pays the bills? You're finding your own way.
If I look back at mistakes I've made in my career, it's because I listened to people. Bosses. I listened to bosses, but I wasn't in a position where I couldn't.
Correct.
And you're absolutely right. Sure, if you have. Financial stability and a safety net. Now, if I were to lose my job, it's not like I'm going to live the rest of my life and I don't have any financial considerations. I'm set for life. Not anywhere even close to that. But I'm not hurting for money right now. And with that comes a certain security that you have to be able to do what you want to do, I guess.
Does all that money that you have... buy you a fan? Because it's really hot in here, Rover.
Anonymous, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. I don't have any.
It's bad.
Good morning, Anonymous.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Hey, what's happening?
So, to touch on the Taylor Swift, she claims she writes her own music, and I know for sure that's not true. I was an artist in Nashville that I worked right with her engineer the whole time, and... he told me that not only did she not write, like, her music starting out. Now, I don't know about right now, but starting out, she did not write any of her music. Plus, her dad bought her first million copies of her first album just so she could go platinum.
I find that hard.
Not only that, but...
how would he buy... he bought the first million copies of her album? He spent... so he... how much does an album cost? $15? He spent $15 million?
I don't think it was just him. I think it was him and a group, but it was not... it wasn't. She did not have 1 million fans.
And how would copies sold. How would one go about doing that? How would you buy a million copies of a record? Well, you fan out. Okay, you get five buddies. You fan out across the country and go buy the album out of every record store.
I don't know if it was. Like I said, it wasn't just him. That's because I didn't believe that either. This is again not. She never told me this. I heard this from her engineer, and. Yeah, I guess it was just, you know, it was a plan to come up with to have her first album go platinum. Not only that, but she also did not...
I find that, I would, just because I am in the industry, I'm not necessarily in the record industry, but I've worked pretty closely with the record industry for my entire career. I would chalk this up to a complete falsehood if I were to guess. I just don't see how it's possible. And
I don't see how he had the money because I don't even know if he came from money or she came from money. So that's where I didn't go too far into the questions with it. But that's just what I heard. I do believe that she does not write her own music because that is so rare.
It says so that rare, she's written or co-written every single song. She's been in
co-writing.
On
co-writing.
Sure,
yeah. Co-writing. Anyone
has written
co-write.
Or
yeah, and
you could change three words or three notes, and you're a co-writer on something. But
exactly, and I think that that's what she started off doing. She was very bad at singing too. Very bad at singing. I mean, if you could actually hear that in her first couple. I mean, her first album. It's not good singing, in my opinion.
Well, I will tell you, all the things you're saying,
right?
She must be doing something right because she's selling
out. She's doing something great.
Arena tours and stadiums and. Someone must like. All right, thank you, Anonymous. I don't. There's no possible way that they bought a million copies of her.
That would be
record.
Out there everywhere. People would know about that.
It is a common accusation, it says.
It would be. How would you
really?
Even. How
no,
would you,
no smoking gun.
How would you facilitate that?
Right.
It's a little bit different because I think he said that that was her debut album that he bought, but I know Jay-Z did a similar trick with this. He released his album through Tidal, which is his streaming service.
Oh, and then he can say whatever numbers he wants, right?
And then he had a deal with Sprint so that, you know, all the Sprint people got, like, free subscriptions or they got the album downloaded or something.
Oh, so he counted that
But, yeah,
as
so it was something along the lines of, like,
sneaky.
Instantly when his album was released, it went to all the Sprint people and it immediately went platinum because of all the people that are on Sprint's network.
Yeah. I've got to take a break. We're running way behind. We'll be right back. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory.
Heart Radio Station.
Isn't it weird these guys on the show are never hungry?
Something's not right.
It's because they're full of and we eat. Back to Rover's Morning Glory. WMMS.
I think that I think I just felt the air conditioner kick on.
Yeah, it's on me.
All right, it's good. They just got it fixed. We're running a little bit behind this morning. I went over with Carlos Mencia, so that's no good. So we'll get caught up here in a short while. Unfortunately, I'll have to take another break, but. I didn't read this, but I guess they, because of there are so many transgenders now and that kind of stuff, that they want to call various body parts, like they don't want to call it a, for some reason, I don't understand this. I guess they don't want to call it a vagina, they want to call it a font hole?
That's if you're, okay, you're confused.
You're
going
to have to explain this to me.
Yeah,
I just read the headline, front hole.
I think I understand this, all right. If you're a man transitioning into a woman,
yeah,
that person's going to have a vagina, all right?
If you're a man transitioning into a woman.
Because that's what they want. They want a vagina.
Okay, yeah.
But if you're a woman transitioning to a man, but you haven't done anything yet, and you still have a vagina, you call that a front hole. Because they don't want to have a female sex organ. They just have their front hole.
That sounds better.
Now, do women then have front holes? Like, do you have to refer to everything this way?
You have to put that in your bio from now on, like what you want your genitalia to be called.
Right, so...
He, him, front hole, or whatever, to let people know.
On a name tag?
Yeah, you put that at the grocery store so people can properly know what kind of genitals.
I want to pound your front hole. Yeah. I mean, this... Seriously? Is that?
I believe I was trying to understand it too, and I believe that's what I picked up.
Well, how can a man transitioning into a woman, you say they want to call it a vagina because they want one, but if they haven't done anything, they literally don't even have a hole up there.
Vagina. Here's the definition of a vagina now.
Okay. Now, as of today.
We use this word to talk about the genitals of trans women who have had bottom surgery. So, that is a man transitioning to a woman who now has a new vagina.
Okay.
And that you can call that a vagina.
All right.
But say Doogie wants to identify as a man.
Yes.
She doesn't want some stinky vagina.
No, she wants to get rid of that vagina.
Maybe she doesn't want to get rid of it. She wants to keep whatever she has.
Yes.
But she doesn't want that to be known as a vagina anymore.
No, because you're a man now.
You're a man. That's how...
That's when it becomes a front hole?
Yes.
Right.
Now, I don't understand this part because... there's another word called strapless.
Okay, what's strapless?
Okay.
Let's see if we can decipher this.
I didn't get this one.
Everyone should take notes because it's only a matter of time before...
You'll get arrested if you
do this wrong. The cancel culture is going to find you
if you use
the wrong word.
A doctor's going to lose his job for working on a vagina, not a front hole one day because he called it the wrong thing.
All right, what do you got? What's strapless?
We use this word to describe the genitals of a trans woman who have not had genital reconstruction, sometimes referred to as a penis. So a dong is now a penis. Oh, wait.
No.
Strapless. A penis is now called a strapless.
That's right.
So front hole makes sense. What does strapless mean?
I think I can decipher this. Traditionally, if lesbians want to have sex, what do they use?
Strap-ons.
This is a person that... Oh.
This is a strapless.
But still has the parts.
Still has it. That's right.
But, I mean, sexual orientation doesn't usually... It doesn't have to follow gender identity either. Just, you know.
Okay, that may be true, but...
Okay, so, but I get what you're saying. So strapless.
Strapless.
This person came with their own strap.
So if I decided I'm going to
be a
woman.
Female. Yes.
Okay. As of tomorrow, I am going to be a woman. But I don't have the surgery.
Yeah, you like what you have.
I'm strapless.
Uh huh. Like
I that's my strapless.
Do you remember the woman that
it's so stupid.
Do you remember the woman
what the hell's wrong with society?
Do you remember the trans woman that got she wanted to get waxed?
Oh yeah.
Remember she wanted to get waxed.
It was a guy, right?
Right.
Well, it's a trans woman.
Okay.
Yeah, trans woman.
Originally a guy, not trans.
Yes, yeah, yeah. She wanted to get waxed, and the waxer person had only ever performed on females with vaginas, with front holes. And that person went there and said, "Well, I want my dong waxed, right?"
Yes.
And the woman said, "Oh, I don't do that."
Right.
She's like, "Well, I identify as a female, so this is, you know." Yeah. She had a strapless, I guess you could say.
Okay, yes. Not a penis. She had a strapless. Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense. Total. All clear now.
It's actually pretty crystal clear in all honesty. It's
trying to move forward. I'm gonna.
If you don't understand this, you deserve to lose your job.
Yeah. William in St. Louis. You're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, William.
Hey, man.
Hey.
So, Carlos mentioned Ari, which is the guy that beat up Bobby Lee, 6'7" comedian.
Yeah.
That is the same Ari that drugged Bert Kreischer on his podcast with Molly that Bert's wife was telling us about.
That is indeed true. That's the same guy, Ari Shaffir. Now, Ari's been on the show. I don't know him well, but I think what I've gleaned from this is that Ari Shaffir is an instigator.
Yeah, you said that right away.
And he will do things in order to elicit a reaction from people.
Yeah, didn't he start as the amazing racist?
Yes, he did.
Okay, so that's an instigator.
Yeah. Some of those are... I remember that was like when the... When did the amazing racist
That was before YouTube. You'd have to go to weird sites to see it.
It was just like... I remember seeing that video. It was like before online video was real popular. I remember seeing that. The one where he goes to a gas station and he tries to get gas.
He's the KKK.
Yeah, and he's dressed in a KKK outfit.
He needs gas just to burn a cross. Yeah. And he goes up to a black guy.
And I laughed at that a lot. At the time, I didn't realize that I believe those were all just fake actors that they had. He wasn't actually going up to.
The one that sticks out to me is when he goes to Home Depot and gets a bunch of migrant workers and then just drives them right to the ICE office.
Yes.
And that one did not seem fake at all.
I think it probably was, though, if I were to guess.
Oh, I thought he said that lots of them were real.
I don't remember what he said when he was on the show, but I don't know. I look at things through a different lens now. And I go, oh, yeah, it's an actor. I've got to take a break. If you listen to us on a station that only carries the show until 10 a.m. Eastern, well, you got an extra few minutes out of us today. Sorry about that to our affiliate stations, but you can continue listening or watching for free live at roverradio.com. For everyone else, we'll be right back with our last shizzy of the morning. The news next. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory, an iHeart Radio station. Set your alarm to Rover's Morning Glory. Just say, "Alexa, wake me up to 100.7 WMMS on iHeartRadio weekdays at 7 a.m. Rover's Morning Glory has been number one for over a decade. Don't worry, they have number two covered as well.
I had an unfortunate accident in my ass.
Now, back to the show.
The shizzy is coming up in just a moment. What do you have on the way, Doozy?
We are going to talk about a Netflix movie that was told they had to remove something from Netflix. I'll talk about that story. Also, I have this for Dieter. Voters ranked their best sports movies. We're gearing up this weekend for some finals for football. So we're talking sports and the best sports movies of all time.
That's good.
So I know you like that kind of stuff.
All right. We'll get to that in just a moment. Gigi just heard a commercial of yours, Dieter. And I don't know. Just ask, what type of body enhancement did Dieter do? Did you do a body enhancement?
No, I did the cryo chamber.
Oh.
But the place that I do the cryo chamber.
Yeah.
They also do this other stuff now, like a floating pod, and they do like
facials. I just saw something about this on the internet. I did a Google search for something for a moon pod, which is like a bean bag. Because my wife.
Oh, goes, the huge bean bag that's the size of the room.
No, I have one. If you want one, I'll give
my
it
girlfriend
to you.
Wants one, and I went to go. I don't know if it's called the moon pod, but it's a bean bag that is so huge. It's ridiculously huge, and I was like, okay, maybe I'll get that for her for Christmas.
I paid $850.
What?
Yes. Okay, maybe it is. Yeah.
This is $850. Doogie's made of money.
Oh, I did this.
It's a bean bag.
Yeah.
Yes, bean bag chair, but you could fit like your entire family and extended family in it.
You have a picture?
This is the moon pod here. This is not what that's not it. About. This is something else.
What did you get, Doogie? What's it called?
I don't remember.
Love seat. It's called something.
It's a love sack.
Love sack.
Yeah. $850.
You know how cheap bean bags are? How's it cost that much?
Just you could like just sew one of them. Yourself.
Yeah, but push them together in a room, four of them.
Sit in my basement if you want to buy it. What is your moon
this
thing?
Wait, hold on.
It's just.
This? Is that it? What the hell is that?
Yeah, that's
Mine's
it.
Mine's bigger. Mine's
I mean, they're
like
huge.
The, yeah.
You gotta be kidding me.
It's no, like it's, you're in a nest.
Yeah.
It's you're massive. Not looking at a big one.
That's it's a normal
bigger
size.
Than this?
Oh, yeah.
This lady's laying in it. That's not a normal size bean bag.
I know it's not normal, but that's not even the big one.
Mine's still so new that it hasn't even been broken in. Like, it needs to be, like, flipped and folded and mushed. Hasn't been broken in because we don't use it. It's in the basement.
Here's one. Big one is $1,040.
Yeah, look at that person in it.
Yeah, love sack. Yeah. Yep.
Does it show a person in it?
And Yeah.
Two people.
Yep. That's what I have.
You can buy a couch for that price.
I know that. Anyhow. It wasn't the best purchase.
So I did this Google really search dumb. For these moon pods. And then that took me to some site that had water pods, floating pods.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is that for, Dieter? I was trying to figure that out because I showed this. So I'm laying in bed and I go, look at this. This is weird. She goes, what the hell is that for? What are you going to use that for? Who goes in that? I go, I don't know. She goes, what's the purpose? I go, I guess to be like you're floating and
readjust your
in an egg or something. I don't know. What is it?
To center yourself. It's just like this pod you go into, and there's so much salt in there. I think it's Epsom salt, I think. But you just float for an hour.
And it's the exact temperature of the air. So
yeah, there you go.
You don't know if you're floating. It's completely dark, too.
I would be so claustrophobic.
No, you got an hour. No, you can keep it open at first, then you can close it down.
Yeah, it's up to you. But like you're just floating, chilling.
Yeah, so completely weightless for an hour. You want to play music or whatever you want to do, make it silent.
Yeah, but you have water in your ears.
You could put earplugs in. You do it for an hour, lunch break, come back in, centered, get all your work done.
Yeah. I'd like to see you in that thing.
Yeah.
I might try it.
Why don't you get in there?
Okay.
Float around in that for an hour. I want to see that.
Okay.
They clean that water out?
Yeah, that's the thing. Every time they drain it, completely clean it, and they have a shower you go into before and after.
Well, so why would you need to do that if they completely drain it? I don't believe they completely drain it.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah, they have to.
Well, you want to shower the salt
off. They don't drain swimming pools, do they?
No, but there's chlorine and all this other stuff in it, acid, cleaning materials. What I was told is there was a shower because I saw it. You go in the shower before, do it, and then after too, and then they have to re-drain it.
There's a movie like in 1980, Altered States. Anybody see that?
No. Mm-hmm.
Same thing. They had that in it, like a sensory deprivation chamber kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Same salt water. They floated in it. They changed it into like cavemen or something.
They have it in Minority Report too. Those are the people that could see the future before you commit the crime.
They're laying in me, yeah.
Speaking of...
I'm just wondering if that... I mean, does that have any... would that be pleasurable?
You ever take an Epsom salt bath, Rover?
No.
Oh, it's...
Him?
Yeah, it's so soothing. I mean, if you have aches and pains in your body, you go in that thing, oh, God. It changes you.
Yes,
Jeff. Yeah, speaking of a bath...
You think it's possible they could have gotten that idea from the movie Demolition Man, where the prisoners are cryogenically frozen for the duration of their sentence?
Maybe. And would it be Epsom salts that are in there, or would... Because they want salt water, right? Doesn't it have to be salt water so you float?
Yeah.
Is that the same... Is that the same kind of salt?
I think so, but it's so much salt.
It's supposed to be like
salt.
The Dead Sea or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not Epsom salt. Is that Epsom? E-P-S-O-M? Is that what it is? What the hell is that, by the way? What is that?
That's an old people thing.
I know. Like, that's something my grandmother would soak her feet in.
You do that with some witch hazel and you're all set.
Well, that's for hemorrhoids.
What was it?
No, but I had that cactus needles on my feet. Every day I would do the Epsom salt bath on my feet. And it really helps to draw out, you know, the needles. That's how I got them all out.
Yeah, yeah.
But anytime I have, like, a really bad backache or whatever, I'll do Epsom salt bath.
What is it, Jeffrey? Is he still hovering?
Still here.
What is it? What
did you want to say?
What is it? What did you want?
Can I take table salt and put it in a bath and then...
I had salt once.
Yeah.
I wasn't hovering at all. I just made my comment and that was the end of it.
What was the comment?
Charlie left the hovering sound effect along a little too long.
Don't blame this on me. This is on you.
Well, you're the sound effects guy, Charlie.
What did you have to say?
Say it.
That's it.
Theater, the guy who owns, I said what the guy I said. Who owns I said your my place piece. Is on the line. Dan.
Perfect.
Here, Dan, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rover. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. All right, so you own this place where Dieter...
Core Cryo.
Okay, all right. So you have these floating pods or whatever?
Yeah, you got it. We do. We have the floating pods.
What's
there.
The purpose of that exactly? Because I saw this, and by the way...
Is this the freezing?
I saw... No. Dude, shut up.
This is floating pods.
Yes.
Okay.
Just what we showed you, where you're floating in the water. That's exactly what we just showed.
But Dieter didn't we've do been it. Talking I know about that, but it's the same
minutes.
Place that does all that, right?
Yeah. Oh,
the crowd
my
therapy.
God.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I did.
Can we freeze this bitch and just permanently put her in ice? Carbonite. And just freeze her and put her up in the corner of the studio so she can't talk.
This says 900 pounds of Epsom salt is used in one of those pods.
Oh, and they empty that every time, Dieter?
No way!
They're putting in a dump truck and dropping it off every day?
Dan, Dieter claims that those are drained every time. I say that I don't know about that. I don't believe that.
No, that's not correct. It's just like a swimming pool. We filter it during every session. There's filters that are in the pod itself. So the temperature of the pod itself is 94.5 degrees. There's a lot of salt. So the density of the salt helps you float in the water.
Uh-huh.
We also use peroxide to sanitize it. Also, just like a pool, the alkalinity, pH, things like that. Any other questions on it? I mean, you literally float.
You have
no gravity.
I saw this thing that, I don't know if it's the same ones you guys have, but I did a search for the stupid beanbag, and then I end up with this floating pod. Floating pod was $30,000.
To own it. I believe it.
Oh, they even have floating pod rooms, and they have all sorts of stuff. There's some company that makes it, but 30,000, is that how much your pods cost? 30 grand?
Yeah, it was $30,000.
Wow.
You got it. And
people, you get in there, and the purpose of this is just relax because you're floating around.
I mean, you have no gravity on your body whatsoever. When you get out of the pod, I mean, it takes your mind like a little bit to recoup where you can't focus. I mean, because you're so relaxed. You literally, like after 20 minutes, it's like your mind is in like outer space where you just feel like your legs are floating and, you know, your whole mind just shuts down.
Do you fall asleep?
I play music. I mean, you could fall asleep. I mean, you could do whatever. I mean, there's people that meditate in them. There's people that jam out to music in them. I mean, it's just complete relaxation. Yeah. It's probably one of the best things in the world for you.
All right, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, we appreciate everything you're doing for us, Rover.
You're welcome.
Dieter is phenomenal.
Can we?
You got to come try us out.
Can we send Doogie there to be frozen eternally?
We could.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or at least just her tongue. If it would be cheaper to just freeze her tongue, we'll start with that.
We would love to try the cryo skin out with you guys. So we have that at our place.
What's that?
We would love to come in. I mean, it burns fat cells. We literally do it, and like my wife does this in 20 to 30 minute sessions that people drop inches around their waistline.
Is it possible?
It really works, Dieter or Rover. I'm sorry.
But then it comes back, right? Like I can't just freeze that fat off, and it's going to come back, right?
You work with my wife, and she will help you out with everything. Her name's Patrice.
She's phenomenal.
Talk slut.
You had the toe treatments for Doogie? Or no?
Patrice, I'm all yours.
You do penis reduction freezing. Could I put that around my penis and reduce the size? It's just too large. I'm intimidating the ladies.
You got it.
All right, Dan.
Yeah, I got to get back thank to work, you. But we appreciate everything.
All right. All right. Bye-bye.
He's been listening since day one. Yeah. Over. 2003, 2004, he started listening.
And what was he doing back then? Did he have a job back then, or was he in school, or...
Yeah, he had a job. I forget what he said he did. He would come out to some of the events, like the Flugtag.
Yeah.
When we took that plane. Yeah, he came out to that.
Yeah.
I forget what his job was before this. Might have been a physical therapist.
Now he owns this place?
Yeah, now he opened it with his wife.
Oh, that's
Patrice.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
You met Patrice?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very good looking.
Oh really?
Mm-hmm. She's a female, not... I know you're trying to say she was a... I thought you were saying like Patrice, like she's
I wasn't
like,
saying
okay.
What are you talking about?
Okay. I thought you were going there.
No, I wasn't alluding there.
Patrice O'Neill? What are you talking about?
That's what I was thinking of, that big black comedian.
All right, Doogie, can you give us a quick shizzy? Here we go.
Hit a shizzy on Rover's Morning Glory. A Babson College professor has been fired for a Facebook post that was a joke. I don't know why this professor thought it'd be funny to post this, but... He jokingly posted that he was suggesting Iran's supreme leader should make a list of American cultural sites worthy of bombing. So, again,
why the hell would you do that?
To be a smart guy, why would you post that?
Well, hold on. But then he says Mall of America, Kardashian residence. It's a joke.
It's not funny.
Yeah, but what if
I think you need to say that second part so people understand the joke.
You read the second line, it turns it into a funny joke. I find that to be funny. What are our historic cultural sites? Mall of America, the Kardashian house.
Okay, it's not funny.
Yeah, you don't joke around about that.
Oh, my God, you guys are sensitive.
Well, they fired him.
You find that funny? I find that
he's a professor. It's okay.
I don't think he needs to be fired.
Yeah, I don't think
he's being real snowflakes.
Okay.
Yeah, they were triggered.
So this is pretty interesting. Prosecutors told a federal judge yesterday that prison authorities inadvertently deleted surveillance video of the area right outside of the jail cell of accused child sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein. This was during
his
very first suicide attempt.
So that video is not available anymore. Okay.
But the second suicide attempt, which actually worked, they don't have that video either.
Oh.
So everything, it was just...
Yeah, the tape wasn't working. I finally watched it 60 Minutes where they talked about it. How can you believe he actually killed himself at this point? 60 Minutes laid it all out.
No, that's not.
Is that what the episode was about?
No. Yes.
They did not. No, they just talked to Michael Bodden, who was hired by the family, but no one else is saying he was murdered.
Everybody's saying that.
No. Who in 60 Minutes said he was murdered?
Well, they were alluding to it. The lawyer was that Navy SEALs on Fox News. His lawyer.
Oh, okay, yeah. Again, it's those people. But who outside third party people?
The medical examiner that they hired.
Yeah, that they hired.
Yeah, okay,
third party people not involved are saying that
his reputation's on the line.
His reputation. He's a sex trafficker.
No. The medical examiner. His reputation online. He has no reason to lie about this.
He does. He's been paid by the family.
But he wants to tell the truth. If it comes out and they're like, no, this guy is completely lying because he got paid, it's going to make him look bad. The fact that the noose mark they made a great point, was on the middle of the neck. If you're hanging yourself, it would slide up to the top of your neck, right under your jawline. That's a major fact.
Well, you don't know that necessarily. It depends on the angle that
you're leaning forward on your knees, Rover.
If you're less likely, and if you're leaning forward for it to ride up. If I'm hanging myself right now from a chair, and the noose is up in the ceiling, yes, you're right. The noose is going to come up around the top part of your neck. But if I'm leaning forward,
it still would
not
slide
necessarily
up.
Because I'm in a more horizontal position. It's not going to slide up.
It still
like
would
that.
Slide up. It's not going to stay at the bottom of your neck. It would slide up.
You don't know that.
He even said that. The examiner. And multiple bones were broken.
Someone get a necktie and let's hang Dieter and let's see how it goes.
There are multiple bones broken in his neck.
So it's a more likely scenario that someone snuck into the jail. It's a jail. And killed him.
Yeah, cameras weren't working.
Right.
The security guards didn't check on him for what, 9 hours? There's 9 hours to work with there.
I don't find that.
I've also heard theories a body double too.
A body double.
The first time he went in, he tried to kill himself. Uh-huh. That's when they removed Epstein. They removed him, then brought somebody else in, a patsy, to do the rest of his sentence, and that's the person that's dead right now.
So where's Epstein? Well,
why would that person agree then to go into jail and spend the next month pretending to be Jeffrey Epstein?
They don't know.
That's the most ridiculous thing. And then go, yeah, you're going to kill me at the end of this? Sweet.
Maybe he has a disease of some kind, an uncurable disease, but his family's going to get a sweet payout of that Clinton money.
Right. Okay.
Uranium One money or whatever.
Right. All right.
You ready for another ridiculous story?
Okay.
A Vermont lawmaker is proposing banning cell phones for people under 21 years old.
Oh.
Senator John Rogers.
Gee, it would be a criminal then.
Yes. Senator John Rogers cites that cell phone use while driving and the use of cell phones to bully others as reasoning for the bill. So he also says that cell phones have been used by mass shooters to research previous shootings. The bill says that.
So does the internet, just the basic internet.
People under 21, he says, are not mature enough to have them, just like cigarettes, just like alcohol and guns. So he says he would propose a year in jail or a fine of no more than $1,000 for a violation.
What is this guy's... I don't understand the point of this. He knows that's the dumbest thing he's ever been said. Does he... trying to tank his career?
I don't really know the point of that, but that is ridiculous that he's out there with that bill proposal. Taco Bell is going to have to sell a lot more food in order to cover managers' salaries if they really do this. Apparently, they're going to start testing higher salaries to see if it helps them get better staff for their stores, and they want to encourage them to stick around. So,
what is a manager of a Taco Bell make?
A Taco Bell manager.
I just talked about this with my wife, and I said, we were talking about McDonald's, and I go, I heard that McDonald's managers make like $120,000. She's like, no way, like $70,000.
Wait, so you're the general manager of the store or shift manager?
This is just
No. Like you run the whole store.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you might make that much. I thought you meant the guy that's actually...
Not a shift manager, no.
Managers...
The guy who runs the whole McDonald's store.
Yeah. He might make that much.
Yeah.
120, what, 120 or 70?
No,
in
120.
Between those two.
Okay.
I would say that managers, if you listen to this, they get paid between $50,000 and $80,000.
Okay.
So they're saying in Taco Bell, they're going to test higher salaries. They're going to offer $100,000 and up.
All right. Sounds good to me.
That would work, of course it would, because you're going to hire better people.
You're
going to
get better people. Yeah.
Correct. So
it's not a bad living to work at a Taco Bell.
Get free food, right?
Oh, it's hard work. Even the managers at any fast food place I worked at, they're there from
all the time.
All day. I mean, all day. They're doing 12-hour shifts easy, and they're like, they know how to do everything in the store. If like somebody doesn't show up, the grill kid doesn't show up.
the manager's
now making the Big Macs for the day.
Yeah.
So it's rough work.
But those people, they take pride in, you know, you have to find the kind of people that are into that. You know, that people take pride in that and being the knowledgeable guy there at the thing. I
mean, would Dung do that? Right, $100,000 to be a manager at Taco Bell? That's a lot of money.
People skills, be able to calm customers down. Can Dumb do that? Work with the public without yelling?
We work with the public every weekend.
Without yelling, though, I'm saying. If somebody has to complain about food, you have to actually be nice and thoughtful.
You dumb bitch!
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Just give them refund their money or give them food. That's a quick fix. It's not rocket science. Just make sure the customer's always right in that situation.
You moron! Oh, my God!
Who's ready for some football this weekend? Saturday, tomorrow, we have the Vikings at the 49ers. So 4:35 p.m. is our first game, Minnesota and San Francisco. And then the late game, 8:15, we have the Titans at the Ravens. So Saturday will be a good game. So we're trying to eliminate who's going to play the Super Bowl. So this is the finals.
Oh, I love it. We got new teams this year. No more Patriots.
Yep. Yep, pretty exciting. And then on Sunday, we have two more games. At 3:05, we have the Texans at the Chiefs, and then the later game at 6:40, Seahawks at the Packers.
Oh, I can't wait.
Detroit lost 226 games across the Big Four sports in the 2019 calendar year, which set a new record for any city in 1 year. The previous mark was New York's 219 losses in 1962. It was not a good year for professional sports in Detroit last year. All right, according to voters, these are the best sports movies of all time. Do you agree, Dieter?
Any Rover? Sport?
Any sport.
Okay.
So what do you want me to do, Rover? I've got the top 10.
Yeah, five? I don't need the top 10. Top
fifth
five.
Place, Field of Dreams.
No, not for top 10.
It's a good movie.
Oh, great movie.
Great movie.
Okay, to watch it once. You ever want to watch it again?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it in a long time. Maybe I'd watch it again. All right, go on.
Fourth place, Miracle.
The hockey movie is at the USA versus...
Russia.
Yeah. Again, it's...
Lake Placid?
It's a great story, but...
Okay, go on. Third place, The Blind Side.
Get out of here. You talk about... No!
Sandra Bullock saving a big big fat black guy and turning him into a football player.
Of all time?
All time. Second place, Remember the Titans in second place.
That was okay.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Number one movie of all
Mighty
time.
Mighty Ducks.
Rocky
Four. Who?
Rocky Four.
No.
Necessary Roughness.
Necessary Roughness, not even on the top 10.
The Program.
Yes. Rudy.
Program. Rudy is an A.
Oh, what?
What do you got?
Rocky.
Is number one.
Okay, the number one movie. Not Rocky IV, just Rocky.
Yeah, but
Rocky.
When you go back and you watch the original Rocky, those Oscar fight winner. Scenes are so... what did Snitz just say?
I said Oscar winner.
Okay.
Screenplay, right? Or best picture?
Sylvester Stallone won an Aren't for that.
But the punches, aren't the punches completely way missing
so
in the
maze? Bad. Yeah. The fight scenes.
Yeah.
So bad.
But we can admit Rocky IV... Probably the best sports movie of all time, in my opinion.
That's the best Rocky movie, without a doubt, to me.
Well, what's the best sports movie, Dieter?
Oh, God.
Rudy.
Necessary Roughness.
Sandlot.
I say Karate Necessary Kid. Roughness if or The Program.
Okay.
Neither one of those are even on.
And Rudy.
I thought he was going to say Any Given Sunday.
That's good. That was going to be my number four. Uh-huh. That's the top four football movies right there.
Basketball.
What are you, South Park? Hoosiers. That should be on there.
There
Hoosiers.
You go.
Hoosiers in ninth.
Dodgeball? Okay.
No. A judge in Brazil has ruled that a film depicting Jesus as gay must be removed from Netflix. The film is called The First Temptation of Christ, and it infuriated people, Christians.
Where is this in Brazil? They got that big statue of Jesus up there. Remember that?
Yeah, I love
Rio,
that thing. Yeah.
Rio de Janeiro.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they have to remove it from Netflix. And speaking of Netflix, do you own any of their stock, Rover?
No.
I wish.
I'm not a stock kind of guy.
If you had invested $100 in Netflix 10 years ago, you would have made an extra $23,000. Not bad at all. But a big jumper here I thought was kind of interesting. $100 in Monster Energy drink from 10 years ago. Over $62,000 in your pocket. 1917 is in wide release. That's the movie we had talked about that you guys want
to
see.
It's supposed to be great.
I'm going
to
go see it.
Yep. It's out in wide release. It is rated R. That is the one that's supposedly one shot.
It's got to be rated R. Yep. I won't see PG-13. I'm done with it.
Yep. So that's going to be a big movie. And then finally, Amy Schumer's trying to get pregnant again. Baby number two. And she posted a picture of herself on Instagram because she is doing IVF, in vitro fertilization treatment. And when you do that, you have to give yourself shots in order to get your body ready.
Mm-hmm.
And she posted this picture. It's a pretty interesting picture.
What's that?
Her belly is bruised from giving herself the injections.
Yeah.
And the bottom part of that is the cesarean scar from her first child.
Oh, God.
So,
really?
Remember, yeah. Remember, she was really sick her first pregnancy. I mean, she was always posting pictures of herself vomiting.
Which would you rather have? This is a question. And I don't know if that's what those scars normally look like, but...
Yeah, my mother had another second child.
Would you rather have that or your wife's vagina stretched out from birth? And doesn't that snap back into place? I think I'd rather have that than that... C-section scar. That thing's huge.
I think I'd rather have a healthy baby. Who cares how it's delivered?
I'm not talking about the woman. I'm talking about the husband.
Can't you grow the bush and kind of cover up that scar?
That bush would be a large bush.
Yeah, up to the belly button.
That's huge.
It's called a heat miser.
Well, wow. All right, what else? Which would you rather have?
I don't want a stretched out vag, man. I don't want a hot dog down
they
the hallway.
Snap back into
Do
place.
They always?
Yes.
Yes. Sensor okay, has like 100%.
I could go back to 100%.
Well, some people might not notice. You know, so I mean, you know, if you're
If you're what?
Enough, then you're not going to, it's fine.
If you're large enough, is that what you're
saying?
That's
what I'm saying. Some people might be like a hot dog down a hallway.
Okay. So Dieter.
So if you're worried about that,
Snitch's that's bush. Your problem. You can't even see his package with his bush, how big it is.
Go on.
That's a shizzy and Rover's Morning Glory.
All right, let me take a break. We'll be right back. We'll wrap everything up. We'll tell you what's coming up on the Friday Leftovers on RMG Plus. Hang on.
Rover's Heart Radio Station. It's not brain surgery.
How much do you really need your brain?
It's just a talk show, but it'll blow your f***ing mind from time to time. Now back to Rover's Morning Glory. WMMS.
Friday Leftovers will be on RMG Plus in a little while. We'll tell you what's coming up on that. You can watch or listen live at roverradio.com. Someone, do you remember we were talking about Taylor Swift? And a guy called in. He made an accusation that Taylor Swift's father purchased her first million copies of a record so that she would go platinum. Now, I find that pretty hard to believe. But a guy said, no, that's true. Taylor Swift came from money. Her family owns Swift Transportation, which is a big trucking company. Now, maybe I looked that up. I don't believe that to be true at all. Can anyone else verify that? No. Has anyone ever heard that?
Verify what? Sorry.
I saw that.
Yeah, that was searching false, for too. Yeah.
Really? Oh, it's false?
Yeah, he was a financial person at Merrill Lynch or something.
Yeah, I think he's like a bank president or vice president.
So they come from money.
Yeah. But this guy's like, no, they came from money. Her family owns Swift Trucking, which is a big trucking company. But it's based, I just read the history of Swift Transportation, and it's based in, I think, Arizona. They actually just bought the name from someone who's the descendant of the Swift meatpacking family. So there's no, as best I can tell, I don't think Taylor Swift, I don't think she has anything to do with Swift Transportation.
I've heard that a lot, too. I actually just looked it up when we were talking about it, but it says that's just a common misconception. But, and that they didn't come from a ton of money. They were just wealthier.
You know how this happens is, two guys in a work truck are behind a semi, and it says Swift Trucking, and one guy says to the other, Taylor Swift's family owns that. And the one guy goes, really? Yeah. And that's that guy goes and he tells, and people, this is how this nonsense perpetuates. Charlie, what do we have coming up on the Friday Leftovers RMG Plus?
Some really great fireworks videos you're not going to miss. Some awesome workout fails. And a video of why you shouldn't do flaming shots. All that and more coming up on the Leftovers.
All right. You can watch or listen live at roverradio.com. When will the new apps be out? I don't know. I just don't know. They will be out soon. In the meantime, go to roverradio.com. You can watch or listen live there. We will get started on the Friday Leftovers in just a few minutes. Have a great day and a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday. It's Rover's Morning Glory. Bye.
Rover's Morning.